Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. They're coming for Alec Baldwin, finally. He's going to have to now surrender his phone for a forensic search amid the ongoing investigation over the woman that he killed. There's not a whole lot else there, but we'll see how that plays out. And I think this may mean something. A lot of people don't believe that Alec Baldwin will ever face any charges, but I don't know, man. I am of the opinion that it is just slightly more likely there was some intent or malice. It may have been a passion murder, but I don't think it's a, I think it's a bit of a stretch to claim that all of these things happened that just accidentally resulted in this circumstance. But we'll get into all that stuff. We'll talk about that. We also got some crazy news out of the CDC. They're now saying they want to narrow the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine over fears of blood clots, which is crazy because I thought that was a conspiracy theory, but now the CDC is saying it. They're not saying outright don't use it. They're just saying they want to recommend Moderna and Pfizer over that. We'll get into that as well. And CNBC's Jim Cramer is a crackpot who came out and said the government, again, he's saying it again, has a right to force you to do things. And then we've got we got a whole bunch of news, man. This is crazy. Elon Musk fighting with Joy Reid and Elizabeth Warren. We've got January 6th committee admitting that they've doctored evidence and then presented it on television. So yeah. We're going to get into all that, and joining us to talk all about it is R.A. the Rugged Man.
How you doing, everybody?
So who are you? What do you do?
I'm just a rapper. Just a rapper. I don't know how the hell I got on this show. I'm not about to curse, though, so I got to be careful. But, yeah, I'm a friend of Luke's, and he told me to come up here, and I watched some of the clips today. And, yeah, we're about to talk, see what happens, you know?
Yeah, man, I've seen some of your videos. They're good. Good stuff. So we'll
yeah, they're a little bit more than good. You gotta.
It's groundbreaking. It's legendary, man.
He said they're good.
I mean, we got one of the best in this house right now. So this is going to be fantastic.
Three decades of being one of the best on the planet.
There you go, man.
Yeah.
Right on, dude. Thanks for hanging out.
And you're very humble.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you coming here. I think we always need more artists and people coming from different perspectives, not just people in politics. So I'm so happy you bring so much different kind of unique perspectives here. So thank you so much for coming here. I know it was a long trip. You're doing a lot. So I really appreciate that. But before we start, I want to shout out everyone in the cast house who came out to our first group self-defense workout session. Linda did amazing. She did awesome. She participated. I had a professional martial artist jiu-jitsu guy come out, Danny Farin of Soldier Fit. He was awesome. And I'm also very disappointed in some people in the house who said that they were going to go to the training and then last minute they decided to nerd out on some Spider-Man. Disappointed in these
amazing
people. I don't care. I'm mad at you. But anyway,
You're a Spider-Man guy too.
No, I'm not. I'm disappointed in the people who went to see Spider-Man instead of working out jiu-jitsu with the rest of the house. Yeah. So that's another story. But anyway, I think it's very fair to say that we're not dealing with a new normal. We're dealing with a new world order. And because of that, hell, I made a t-shirt to profit off of that. And that's why I made this t-shirt that represents that idea. And if you buy it, you can support me and my efforts here on thebestpoliticalshirts.com. So thank you so much for having me. And then here is Ian, who didn't show up to the training today.
Although
and
I
decided
did
to sleep
and
in.
He didn't see Spider-Man either.
I didn't see Spider-Man. I hear it was good, though.
Yeah,
no, but I told you ahead of time I wasn't going, so I don't feel so mad about it.
You ate my ice cream, and I said you had to.
Hey, son of a gun. R.A. just told me who Rakim is. No, Rakim.
Rakim, come on. Get it right.
Yeah, but I never heard. So how is it?
How are you even a musician? musician.
Give me like a brief. Give me like the 10-second.
Bro,
yeah, we gotta do these intros. But I want to know over the course of the show who this guy is.
We'll get into it.
Yeah. You're unworthy of finding out if you don't know by now.
I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, I don't know Rock Kim is.
I am also here in the corner pushing buttons. I did work out with Luke and the gang. It was very fun. I only felt like I was going to die a little bit. And I'm really looking forward to having Danny come back. And hopefully, like, one day a week we'll be able to do that. I skipped bar for that, and it was great investment. I loved it.
Spider-Man was awesome. We went and saw the 3 p.m. showing because the Pop Culture Crisis team needs to see it to know what's up. And I'm like, I'm going, dude. I'm going. So I had to finish work early and then rush back. But I recommend it. It was silly fun.
I think you'll
see
it again.
I'm team Scorsese, team Cronenberg. I'm team all the old filmmaker guys.
Have you seen Joker?
Hate yeah. It's a fake-ass Scorsese movie.
All right, I'll give you that one. You know, and don't forget, go to timcast.com, become a member, help support our work by being a member, and you will also get access to our exclusive members-only segments on the Timcast IRL podcast. Of course, we're going to have one later on tonight, and I imagine that one's going to be pretty epic with RA. It'll be a blast. And don't forget, we hire a bunch of journalists. It's all through you guys signing up to be members, so we really appreciate it. Smash that like button, subscribe to this channel right now, share the show right now. Take that URL, post it literally everywhere. We greatly appreciate it. That's kind of support we could that really, really does help. Now let's get into this first story. Alec Baldwin must surrender cell phone for forensic search in Rust death probe, judge says. New search warrant gives detectives the right to perform a forensic download of Baldwin's texts, images, videos, and more as they probe the fatal shooting of Helena Hutchins. The warrant was issued by Santa Fe County Magistrate Court, gives detectives the rights, so we read that part. In an interview with ABC News' George Stephanopoulos that aired earlier in the month, Baldwin said he was told it's highly unlikely he'll face any criminal charges. And look at this. They just say for the accidental shooting. I love how media just knows things. They assert things are true without evidence. You literally have Alec Baldwin getting his phone taken for forensic download, and they're literally including the word accidental. They say the new affidavit suggests he is still at least an active player in the probe. I don't know if you can say he's a suspect in this, but they're going to mention the paperwork obtained by Rolling Stone recounts many of the details already released about the shooting, including how the movie's rookie armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, purportedly told investigators that she loaded Baldwin's period cult revolver with what she thought were 5 cosmetic dummy rounds before the lunch break that preceded the fatal shooting. So what one of the things they've been, well, actually, let me read a little bit more. I've got search warrant information here. They say, according to the new warrant, Baldwin told investigators during his interview the day of the tragedy that he slowly took the gun from its holster and then very dramatically turns it and cocks the hammer, which is when the gun goes off. Investigators say in the search warrant that Baldwin told them, quote, there were emails transferred back and forth between Hannah and him where she showed him different styles of guns. As the production got up and running, Baldwin told detectives he requested a bigger gun in the movie and that he ultimately chose the Colt. The sheriff's department previously asked Baldwin to voluntarily hand over his phone, but the actor and his lawyer instructed detectives to get a warrant, the affidavit claims. Quote, I would go to any lengths to undo what happened, Baldwin told Stephanopoulos. This we understand. Asked if he feels any guilt. He says he did not. He said he felt someone is responsible, but it's not him. Huh. So what do you think? You think he's a criminal suspect here?
Well, the fact that we still don't have an official explanation to what happened here. I mean, there's no one that came forward and said, oh, this bullet got on the set because of this person. This person put it in the gun. We still don't know what the hell happened here. So because of that, my spidey conspiracy senses are buzzing around here for a very specific reason. Because, again, I don't trust powerful people with anger issues who, of course, get a lot of favorable play in the corporate media. Another thing that we have to understand here is that he didn't willingly hand over his phone. There had to be a warrant. And when they do look at that phone, they're going to be able to see his call records, his contacts, his photos, his videos, and his geolocation data. But more importantly, right after the incident, you saw photos of him talking to people. Who was he talking to? Probably his crisis management team that's sending off a lot of false information out there to cover up a lot of the bigger truths about what happened here. So again, Baldwin is a big player. He has a lot of money. He has a lot of power. And if this was anybody else, they would be treated totally different, in my opinion.
I want to add one thing. He was right not to hand his phone over. I'm not a fan of Baldwin in terms of his politics and who he is as a person. He's got anger management issues. I'm a fan of his acting, you know, not the Donald Trump impersonations. That was actually kind of bad. Mm-hmm. But 30 Rock's fun. Look, if the cops come to you and say, why don't you just give me your phone? You say no.
Of course.
You know? So he did the right thing there.
No, Tim, I got to correct you. What, if the cops come to you, you don't say nothing. I plead the fifth. I don't know. No hables inglés. Arriba, arriba. Get out of here. Get out of my face. I'm not saying nothing. And that's the big, if you ever watch Cops, well, that's the main thing that gets
saying
people.
That, that after he shot it, that he was on the phone.
He was on the phone. Yeah, there was photos of him automatically on the phone.
It don't matter who it is. If you shoot somebody accidentally, you're going to be on the phone. Whether it's your mom, yeah, your wife, you're going to be on the phone. That don't add nothing to the argument.
No, it could. So,
no, it does. Of course, if you shot somebody accidentally or on purpose, whatever, the first thing you're going to do is call somebody, tell somebody.
That's right. And you know, he may have called the crisis management
firm. Oh, he may have, yeah.
Which then put out fake news about what happened.
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely a maybe, but, you know, yeah, the fact that he was making calls right after doesn't...
I'm saying is, who was he making that call to? We're going to find out now because of that warrant.
I got you.
And if it's his mom, obviously that's going to play up more to the side that this was an accident, that this was something that he was remorseful for.
Don't underestimate his mom, bro. She was the mastermind the whole time.
So you believe he actually did it on purpose? That's what you were saying. Are you allowed to say that? You
know? Yeah. I think
because I think it's a low budget movie shoot and terrible things. You know, everything's a mess. Everything's terrible. Yeah, you got amateurs doing amateur things, and you know. So
let me clarify. I think it's more likely it was intentional than it was an accident. But that doesn't mean I think it's like a 51% chance he did it, or I think like I know he did it. I just think, when you look at all the evidence that has come out, it seems very unlikely that it was an accident. If you don't want to believe that Alec Baldwin did this, then it's sabotage.
Yeah.
Because someone put a live bullet in that gun. How did it get there?
Or Gutierrez.
Yeah, an amateur. I'm not defending him because it could come out tomorrow he did it on purpose. But I think assuming that it's on purpose and he did it, you know, like, so he was so angry, he just wanted to murder the camera lady. You know, I don't, that sounds a little over the top.
It does, but when you track the facts of the case, the other side makes less sense. So I'll give you the quick version. You've got the armorer, who is the person who's trained with firearms. According to Alec Baldwin's story, she would have had to have accidentally loaded live ammo. Then the assistant director, who's not supposed to be handling the gun, would have had to have picked it up and then given it to Alec Baldwin, who's already stated he knows he's not supposed to receive it from anyone but the armorer. Alec Baldwin even said that if he were to check it himself, they would have to take it away because they'd be like, hey, someone who's not the prop guy manipulated it. But he received it from someone who wasn't the prop guy.
Yeah.
So all of those things line up. Then,
but keep in mind, that could be an over-budgeted, low-budget picture, and everybody's a mess, the crew's a mess, people are tired of working, and people aren't doing their job correctly, or everything you said could be part of that. I'm not saying it is.
I agree.
You know, because I've been on so many low-budget shoots where everybody's a mess, and everybody's underpaid, nobody's doing their job correctly, maybe they were at the gun range shooting a thing, and it got in the basket, and you know, people, you know.
We got more, though. Alec Baldwin himself, I believe, and a witness, the AD, said his finger was not on the trigger, that his finger was outside the trigger guard. Alec Baldwin said that the woman told him, point the gun at her and pull the hammer back, and then he said it just went off.
Yeah.
But single action revolvers can't go off. They have a sear, they have a multiple locking mechanism, so you need trigger pressure. So we've already had several weapons experts come out and say it's possible that he was holding the trigger down when he pulled the hammer back, and then the hammer auto-released. Okay, well then Alec Baldwin and the AD are both lying when they both said his finger was outside the gun. So now it's just, in either circumstance, they're both lying. So all I'm saying is, when you look at the fact that the crew was having arguments, several walked off set saying that it was unsafe, that they weren't being paid properly. One guy walked off because someone had fired the gun previously.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't there like two accidents earlier in the day as well?
Yeah.
Earlier in the week as well?
Earlier in the week, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So here's what happens, man. The media comes out immediately and puts out false information. They said it was a blank. It was a misfire. That's not a misfire. Yeah. That was a discharge. That was an intentional. Those shots fired were intentional discharges.
Not only that, but if you remember on the day of, I was seeing all over social media this account that Baldwin looked at her and said a particular phrase and then shot her deliberately. All of that was fake. All of that was made up. And I forgot the exact parameters of it, but I remember reading it off and being like, hey, a lot of people are saying this. And you're like, oh, no, that's actually fake news.
I got one for you, though.
Yeah.
What if I were to tell you that according to Alec Baldwin, he didn't know she was shot for 45 minutes after he shot her? That's his own statement.
What?
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I didn't hear any of that.
No, but I mean, like, does that make sense to you? That somebody, he's point blank. She's got the camera in
front
of him.
I thought he shot the director, too, and the girl. So, yeah, that don't make sense. But, you know, like I said, I don't know what this guy did. I you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate for two sides. I'm not a... I just wouldn't say, I know he murdered her. I don't know.
No,
that,
I agree.
You know,
I think you're right on that point. I'm just saying I think it's more likely. And so this is an important point we didn't bring up. I brought it up on a segment I did on my other show. He said in his interview that app, she told him to pull the gun out. She told him to pull the hammer back. It goes off. There's a bang. She immediately drops to the floor. The bullet went straight through her chest, pierced her spine. Alec Baldwin said, I didn't realize I had shot her for 45 minutes until we were like taking a statement from the police.
Oh, I didn't even hear that quote.
How is that? I heard that and I was like, there's no way that is possible.
Yeah.
Someone standing in front of you, you aim a gun at them, you shoot them, they collapse, everyone screams.
And he definitely said that because the director got shot too, right?
He said it. And went through the woman and hit the director in the shoulder.
Yeah.
For him to be like, I didn't even realize, that would mean that he shot her and then walked away without checking to see if she was okay.
Yeah. If he really said that, that's suspect. Yeah, that's definitely
Let me see if I can pull that up.
Well, he also is insisting that he thought the gun was empty, but he had a revolver where, again, you could see the bullets.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
In there.
No, he probably thought it was a blankie.
Yeah, they said she said it was cosmetic rounds. Here's the quote. I thought to myself, did she faint? The notion that there was a live round of the gun did not dawn on me until 45 minutes to an hour later, Baldwin said. So, okay. So I'll clarify my earlier statement to be a little bit more specific. He said,
if he's trying to act like he was in shock, maybe that's, is that what he's trying to say? I don't know what he's trying to say with that. That sounds crazy.
It does.
But like, if he was like trying to claim I was in such shock, I didn't even realize, but you know, that still sounds stupid. So yeah.
Well, here, look, he says, I cocked the gun. Can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? Baldwin said. And then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off. I let go of the hammer of the gun goes off. I thought to myself, did she faint? The notion that there was a live round in that gun did not dawn on me until 45 minutes to an hour later. This is why I think it's more likely he did.
Oh, no, but if he's trying to say that he thought he hit her with a blank, is that what he's trying to say?
That's still lethal,
because,
point blank.
Because a blank can still hurt somebody. If he's trying to say 45 minutes later, he realized it was a actual bullet. Is that what he's trying to say? Because that I understand. If he's trying to say he thought he hit her for 45 minutes with a blank and hurt her, maybe if that's what he's saying. You know, I'm not sure what the guy is talking about, but that makes more sense.
I don't understand at all how you could have someone standing right in front of you. You point a gun, the gun goes off.
No, if you shoot a blank at somebody that close, they could fall on the ground. Oh, you know, be injured.
He lied so much, bro. He lied about so much.
Yeah, yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. For sure. We don't know.
No, I don't know. I'm not defending the guy. I don't even think I'd like the guy if I met him. I'm not. I don't know, so.
Well, they got a search warrant.
We live in a time though where it's like, when some tragedy happens, you jump on everything and either defend them to the death or they're the guiltiest, worst person ever lived. So, you know, I always try to look for in between until the facts come out.
But I'll tell you, man, when this story first came out, we very much approached this. I'm like, man, how could this have happened? They said it was a misfire, a blank, shrapnel. Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking about, there was more evidence coming out. And then I thought, why are we assuming the armorer, the one person trained to handle the weapons, is the one who made the mistake?
Yeah, yeah.
Why are we assuming all these things happened? And then more evidence came out, which corroborated more of what I had been saying. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying it's a guarantee. But then we got the script supervisor coming out saying the gun was not supposed to be fired. And she said Alec Baldwin intentionally pulled the trigger. She said he was.
Oh, somebody said that?
Yeah, the script supervisor. And the electrician said he wasn't supposed to fire the gun. Yeah, and yeah. So I'm like, all right. So I was saying, like, why are we
assuming?
No,
wasn't supposed to fire the gun. I could go with. But if the supervisor said, hey, he did pull the trigger intentionally.
I'm pretty sure. Let me make sure about that. She said she intentionally fired the gun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So. But I want to make sure I have that right.
Yeah. Nah, it's all good.
I hope it's not murder.
Well, she said he intentionally fired the gun.
Oh,
I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's exactly
clarify.
What she said. He said, "Yeah, that's
what." Well, I said pull the trigger. I want to make sure it's clear because I don't know if she said he pulled the trigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's a Long Island guy, right? Long Island guys, Long Island are crazy people. We're all crazy. Every one of us. I don't know somebody that's not crazy from out there. Fair. So you never know with that guy, you know?
Well, I guess, look, they got a search warrant for his phone. We've talked about this a lot, and it's just inching forward very, very slowly. Here's my concern about it. I think the reason often you get news stories that just trickle out like this is they're hoping you drop it. Yeah. They're hoping everyone forgets about what Alec Baldwin did, and then eventually people are going to be like, oh, yeah, whatever happened with that? I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I want to follow this news story. But we have another interesting story, semi-related. This is from Washington Examiner. Urban liberals rethink guns and policing amidst crime spike on their doorstep. There were a couple other stories I was reading earlier. Gun sales were at a record for, I believe, this past month. Mm. It's the second highest year following last year. So we got this. They say ABC News, Ipsos poll published earlier in the week, found that 36% of voters approve of Biden's handling of crime, while 61% disapprove. On gun violence, 66% of voters disapprove of Biden's performance, with 32% approving. We've seen a poll from Gallup that support for gun control is at its lowest it's been since 2014. So it was lower before 2014 a little bit, and then it was higher before that. But people are now all of a sudden coming around and being like, I want to buy guns. Mm-hmm. There was an article from Slate about a liberal woman, and she explained that she thought guns were dangerous, you can't have them. And then her husband was like, I think you need to learn more and go take a class. And then she did, and then she realized, hey, all of these arguments for gun control don't make any sense.
Yeah, and the number of people getting involved with firearms and learning about guns has peaked an all-time high. In the beginning of COVID, I still remember there was a need for classes, and there was no classes available for people to even be, taught basic gun safety or even how to handle their firearms, to the point where I was like, okay, I'm going to create my own classes. I ran my own classes in New Hampshire, literally working with a Special Forces Green Beret, teaching people proper ways to handle a firearm, proper ways to use a firearm, because if you have something like that, you have a tool that you need to know how to use. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think it's akin to a fire extinguisher, and that's how many people are seeing it. Like, if you have a fire extinguisher, why do you need one if you have the fire department? Well, obviously, the fire department takes a while to get to your house. So this doesn't surprise me, especially with the levels of criminality that has been increasing all throughout the United States. Obviously, people are going to want to arm themselves, defend themselves, and have something that is akin to a fire extinguisher during a fire, because there's a lot of fires going around, to say the least.
Yeah, because we all know that the liberals with a little bit of money, that they always have firearms anyway. Even if they're saying, oh, we're ban guns, they got their security, they got this guy with three guns over there, they're all taken care of. They got guns in their house. But, oh, get rid of guns, all you poor people, get rid of guns.
They have gated communities.
Gated communities, yeah.
You guys,
armed guards,
I don't know if you saw this, there was a tweet during the riots last year where this dude who lived in Beverly Hills was like, yeah, the riot's amazing, burn the city down. And then he tweets like an hour later, why are you coming towards my house? Go the other way. Like, they cheer for it until they have to deal with it.
Nancy Pelosi wanted machine gun turrets on the Capitol. I mean,
crew served.
Yeah.
50 BM.
Yeah. These people 30. Are insane. They cheer on the military industrial complex. They're surrounded, as you said, with people with firearms, with guns, security guards, always protecting them. But for you as an individual, you shouldn't have the right to protect yourself. Get out of here. Like, you're crazy if you think that you're going to take away a right that allows me to be equal to another man. Because a lot of people in these cities are also realizing you could get a gun. No matter what the laws are, criminals are always going to have a way to get guns.
Especially in America.
So if the criminals could have guns, why can't legally, law-abiding citizens have guns as well?
Only rich people should have guns. And well-connected politicians.
Well, that's
like in Maryland and New Jersey.
We laugh about that, but there's policies on the books, especially with the machine gun rules, that only allow rich people to have certain firearms, where poor people are exempt from having it because of the restrictions excluded and taxes that the government has put on them that makes it almost impossible for people to have machine guns.
Oh, bro, the cost of machine guns? Maybe you can get one for like 15,000 or 30,000.
If you're very lucky, and that thing probably falling apart and not in good condition.
$384,
I think. They're tens of thousands of dollars, and then people were able to buy them before without any kind of major issues or problems. The most amount of machine gun ownership is per capita in New Hampshire. That's another reason why I really like New Hampshire. And, when we see these like rules and restrictions, especially in New York City, especially in Los Angeles, especially in places like Chicago where people can't own firearms, we're seeing a lot of homicides because of firearms. Why is that?
And also when there was the whole thing, when they were bringing rape culture into, you know, making a big deal, you know, rape culture. And then they were
the
like,
Me Too
take
movement.
The guns, take the guns, take the guns. Yeah. And it's like, don't you think that woman walking alone at night should have like the little one, 22 yeah. in her pocketbook? So you come out, she's going to shoot you in your balls, shoot you in your face, you know? Can we say balls on your pocket?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep it PG, PG-13 on
I mean,
here,
you said
so.
Shoot someone in the face.
I mean.
But if a rapist is going to rape a woman, I don't think that YouTube ain't going to ban you for talking about shooting a rapist in the face. Whatever.
For encouraging self-defense,
well, no.
I think you're okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about self-defense specifically.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly.
But I got to be honest, I would hope that, you know, people would aim for center mass and not the face because you might miss and you got to know what's behind the target.
Or run. Don't wear high heels at night.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. Don't take advice from any of us on what you should do in these situations. You talk to self-defense experts like Luke had been talking to. It's easy for us to be like, oh, you should take your gun and none. Like, a woman in the situation is going to have particular self-defense techniques she's going to use. I think a gun is one of those tools especially.
But it shouldn't be illegal for her. If that's what she feels safe with, she should not be allowed to carry it. That's what I'm saying.
Also,
they shouldn't tell her, no, you can't carry a little weapon in your purse in case, you know.
Chicago, it's almost impossible for a regular person to have a gun, but all the politicians got them. They got guns themselves and they got bodyguards. That's how it works.
Yep. Yeah. And it's absolutely insane. I mean, if you do have a firearm, especially at like a lot of these people in these cities do, you need to get training. You need to take this very seriously. It's all about your personal responsibility. It's a lot more obviously important for you to understand how to use a firearm than a fire extinguisher, but I think the analogy is still there, and I think it's still very important. It's a tool just like anything else, and if we truly want to ban things that harm people, we should be banning cheeseburgers and cars, but that's also unrealistic and totally illogical and totally doesn't make sense. But that's the logic that they use to disarm so many Americans that live in these hell holes that don't allow them to have self-defense, which is crazy.
I think people should be allowed to have nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
I was thinking
nuclear
yesterday,
arms.
Do you think people should be allowed to have flying cars that can drop nuclear gravity bombs? Everyone?
Yeah, I don't know anything about
flying cars is different.
Why do you think people
should
have nuclear
weapons?
Cars are
going to start flying.
Second Amendment says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Nuclear arms are arms.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to change the Constitution, by all means.
Yeah, maybe we should. If a nuclear weapon, if somebody's going to buy a nuclear weapon.
But, back in the day, the founding fathers understood the concept of privateers and corsairs, regular private individuals who had warships with some of the most advanced weaponry on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Like a nuclear weapon?
No, they couldn't wipe out a city. They couldn't wipe out a city in half a second, though. No, I don't think so.
No, but they could in a few hours. They'd bombard a city on a port
until they
wipe
come
it
and
out.
Blow up the ship. Like they can try and sustain.
Bro, you can justify it any way you want.
I think the government should have.
We don't even have to go that far. I mean, but we have to acknowledge that one thing that makes America special is the right to defend yourself. Is the Second Amendment. You don't see that right translated in other places around the world. And right now, we have to take a victory because we're in a situation where taking away that right is at one of the least unpopular moments that it ever has been in American history. That's amazing. That's great. We're also seeing a lot of states domestically pass a lot of laws that allow people to open carry, conceal carry, and have the ability to defend themselves because at the end of the day, this is the right to be able to defend yourself. That's it.
All right. Let me put it this way. I personally don't think people should have nuclear weapons, nor should governments. However, the Constitution is written as it is. And so that means it needs to be amended because no one should have the authority to just decide at this point, we're going to take away, you know, your constitutional protections. You can't do that unilaterally. It's got to be voted on.
But there's
by
certain guns that they're not allowed to have.
And that's
machine
wrong.
Guns and stuff like
that's
that.
Wrong.
Oh, so you just didn't give them everything. Okay,
you could have machine guns. You just have to pay a lot of money.
Yeah, what about RPGs? I think people should have a right to keep and bear RPGs.
Yeah.
Rocket propelled grenade.
That's right.
I'm reminded of Biden saying that you're going to need, F-15s and nukes in order to fight the U.S. government. And then a couple days later, he had to withdraw from Afghanistan after a massive military loss in that country, just embarrassing the United States, causing crazy human harm throughout his, leaving of Afghanistan, which was absolutely done in a foolish way.
The issue I see with the erosion of the Second Amendment, one day some politicians came up and said, well, certainly they couldn't have banned this weapon. And now we're at the point where Democrats have literally advocated banning all semi-automatic weapons.
Yeah.
That would be like your standard Glock 17. They want to ban that. But the cops can have it. And at that point, you're literally taking away the right to keep and bear arms. If you let them erode it, they will keep doing it. Mm-hmm. So we come to this point where it's not just Democrats, it's both, it's all parties, Democrats, Republicans alike, it's the establishment, the uniparty. They have tried to just strip apart as many amendments in the Constitution as possible, interpreting them the way that gives them and guarantees them power.
Speaking of gun rights and all of that stuff, I was watching some of the clips of your show. And one of the things I disagree with you guys heavily on is the heroic, you know, you're making Rittenhouse the hero of the fucking world.
Oh, interesting.
The hero of the world, like this little nerd kid. Is
I never called him a hero.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool,
never.
Cool. Yeah, but a lot of people have. Maybe not you, I thought I saw, like, where you were, you know, really rooting for this kid. And,
well, we were definitely rooting for him because they were trying to lock him up for the rest of his life for acting in self-defense.
Yeah, but... It, you know, maybe that's the law in that state, I guess. So I'm not, whatever that late, but come on. A guy, oh, come on, fight me. And everyone's like, oh, I shot him 3 times and he's a hero. Cause a guy, like, and the guy
said, fight me.
What did the guy say?
Rosenbaum said,
shoot me. So
Kyle Rittenhouse ran away.
Yeah. And he runs away. And then, so a guy tries to fight you. When I'm a kid, when I'm a 17-year-old kid, a guy tries to fight me, let's knuckle up. It was always the cowards were the ones like, bow, 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 bow. And if some hood kid did the same thing where you're like, hey, fight me, you know, and the hood kids start blasting you for just trying to fight you.
That's not what happened.
That is what happened.
Kyle Rittenhouse put out a fire in a dumpster as they were trying to push it.
Towards
a gas station, you know, we're trying to keep it clear.
So when did somebody...
And then Rosenbaum said, I'm going to kill you, twice to him. Yeah. And then
tried to fight him.
And then Kyle Rittenhouse ran away.
And tried to fight him.
And then Zeminski fired a gun behind Rittenhouse. Mm-hmm. In response to the shot, Rittenhouse spins around. And then Rosenbaum grabs for the gun, so Rittenhouse fires 4 shots in 0.7 of a second.
Yeah, he shot the guy over trying to fight him.
No.
He tried to fight him.
Rosenbaum tried to take his gun.
The pedophile rapist guy, he's a piece of garbage.
He had his hand on the gun.
He's a piece of garbage, but he tried to fight the kid.
Wait, hold on.
So now, if he didn't have this weapon, you fight the guy, and he probably would have won. The little psychotic rapist guy, you put hands on him, Rittenhouse could have beat the kid's butt. And then they got a shooter in the street. Rittenhouse just murdered somebody. They don't know that it's some pedophile, terrible guy. And the second guy, which they're villainizing as this criminal, he's the worst. The second guy who he killed.
Uber?
Yeah. He's such a bad criminal. So he's a skateboarder. He had one incident one time in his life, and I saw the clip.
Yeah,
we've
actually defended Uber.
Yeah, of course you should. So all of a sudden he's, now that he's lumped together with the pedophile rapist guy that escaped, you know, suicide, you know, from the mental house. And so he's running away. So there's a shooter. Well, we're living in a time where everything on TV is mass shooter, mass shooter, mass shooter. So this guy comes with a skateboard, like, yeah, and tries to save the day.
No, well, first he hit him in the back, and then Rittenhouse
deflected. Yeah, because he just murdered somebody in his
eyes.
But
he didn't see it.
What?
None of these people witnessed it.
He has a gun, he's shooting.
No, they didn't. So the people were yelling, get him, craning
him. Why? Why were they saying that?
They didn't know.
So nobody knew.
This was tested.
How do you know that?
We watched the trial in full.
How do you know nobody knew?
Bro. We covered this trial so ridiculous. We had 7 witnesses on this show over the past
year. And they all said nobody knew that
Gage
Grosskreutz
was running alongside Kyle Rittenhouse saying, what happened? What happened? And he said, I thought Kyle said I'm working with the police. Gage then said, I decided to run the other direction, but then people yelled, get him, stop him. So I turned around. Grosskreutz then pulls his gun out and goes after Rittenhouse. To the best of our understanding, it was an attempt to... I guess kill the kid?
Who, the skateboarder?
No,
the other guy.
So the guy that got his bicep blown off.
Skateboarder didn't know what was going on. No one did.
Yeah.
They said, just cranium that boy, and people ran after him. And Anthony Huber, without knowing what happened, swung his while they're running.
The shots just went off. What do you mean nobody knew?
And everybody was screaming. Fired shots, and nobody knew what happened.
There were shots going off throughout the entire night.
Hold on.
Right off the block, a guy just got shot and killed and nobody knew in the whole area?
Nobody was over there.
How far did he run away?
I think it was 400 yards or something?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
So he's running down the street by himself. Nobody saw anything. Mm-hmm. Someone yells, yo, cranium that boy. The guy who got his arm shot testified he didn't even see or know what happened.
That guy. What about the skateboarder
guy? Huber was further down than he was.
Yeah.
So Huber sees a guy running and runs up and tries hitting him in the back while he's running with a skateboard. Kyle
because he's a shooter.
No, bro. They didn't know that.
How do you know that?
Could we watch the trial? We listened.
Yeah,
to
but how do you know that he didn't know? Like what was
he wasn't there? He was 400 yards away.
Because he was dead.
You
exactly.
Don't know what he knew. Unfortunately,
you don't know what he
well,
knew.
Well, during these events, there's mass pandemonium.
The girlfriend, his family, his all his witness, all the people that knew the skateboarder said that yo, he went
they
in there.
There, and it was.
But
it
you
was,
weren't either.
It was testified. I'm telling you, bro, in court. Several people testified Huber was nowhere near and had no way to know what had happened.
Yeah.
And so one of the reasons Kyle Rittenhouse got off on self-defense was what Anthony Huber did, mm-hmm. regardless of why anyone thought he did it, he randomly attacked someone with a skateboard. Huber ran up. Listen,
a random attack?
Yes.
I don't know.
You need to understand. When Luke was in Germany.
This is what I was going to bring up. Yeah, yeah. I was in Germany once, and then Antifa was looking for us because we were pictured next to someone that they didn't like. I didn't do nothing. Yeah. But for them, I was, quote, deemed a Nazi. I wasn't. I had family killed by the Nazis that were fighting the Nazi. Still, they said he's a Nazi. They hunted me down, and they started attacking me.
No, stop, bro. Yeah. You got to be – this is way more important.
Yeah, but
Luke was walking down the street. And someone yelled Nazi Schweinhund and random
in Germany?
Yes, in Germany. Listen, I'm the Polish guy in
random,
Germany.
Random people who were sitting down on the curb without seeing or knowing anything ran up and started beating the crap out of Luke.
They didn't know me. They didn't hear any shots. Yeah. But I had a situation in my hand where I was being jumped by a whole bunch of crazy people and I was running away from them. As I was running, there's people getting up, decking me with whatever they had. To the point where I was finally able to get out of there, but random people, because someone just pointed, said something at me, started viciously attacking me. My other friend had to get surgery that was with me because he got beaten.
His knee was
so
all
bad.
Busted up.
Yeah. And then like I was finally able to get away. I'm in a situation where there's like cops around. The cops are like, get out of here. We're not going to help you. We can't help
you. In Germany?
In Germany during one of the largest Antifa meetings ever in history during, what was it, the G20? You were
one
there?
One of our other friends was a professional journalist who had traveled from America. Mm-hmm. He was working for a major mainstream publication, and a random person, for seemingly no reason, pointed and yelled Nazi Schweinhund, and random people started beating him and they stole his camera.
Yeah.
And then he refused to back off. He's like, dude, I need my camera back. And they were like, no. And then someone finally intervened.
And these were a bunch of Germans?
Yeah.
A bunch of Germans. Yes. But you got to understand, during a lot of these protests, it was pandemonium. People were getting attacked left and right. People who were innocent, people who were walking by, thought were a part of different groups, mob mentality took over, and a lot of innocent people, especially during the BLM riots, were attacked, were viciously injured, dozens were killed, and the media wasn't even talking about those cases, but the Kyle case was highlighted by the corporate media because it was the perfect divisive case that would divide people and make people fight each other. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, it was 3 dozen people were killed during BLM protests. We didn't hear about their lives, we didn't hear about the shootings, the murders that happened that killed them.
Yeah, you know about
but this
David
story
Dorn?
Was highlighted
yeah,
for a
cop,
reason.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, so I think this was the perfect case.
Retired cop.
Yeah, this was the perfect case that created the divide and conquer agenda that of course has people debating this, that of course pins people against each other. But to me, this was an argument over self-defense, over of course a mob mentality. And I think self-defense won.
Yeah, no,
and I think it was the right
here's
decision.
Here's the thing is, I wasn't saying nothing about the verdict because I don't know what the state's, I didn't, but the state laws, I don't know what the hell they are there, and, self-defense, whatever. But what I'm saying is the heroic, they make him into this hero to look up to.
Yes, that I disagree with.
And that's what I was saying. He's out there acting like, I'm the man.
To understand that, you got to understand the context of the previous 3 days in Kenosha. Yeah. There was a guy who was, I think he was in his 60s, and he had a store that a bunch of people had set on fire and were ransacking. He ran up with a fire extinguisher. He was spraying the door as they ran out, and someone clubbed him in the face from the back with a rock and shattered his jaw and left him there just bleeding out. So you had stories like that. You had buildings burnt to the ground, and you literally had the reason they targeted Kyle was because
he had a big giant weapon.
He put a fire out that they were setting fires, and he put it out.
The guy that targeted him was a psycho rapist who escaped the mental hospital.
That's, I don't know if he escaped it.
He was released.
He was basically the cause of the entire situation.
Yeah. It was the spark. And then there was other people with firearms there as well. It wasn't just Kyle. There was a lot of people who were just trying to be there as a kind of symbol. And they were saying, hey, even Kyle and other people, a part of Kyle's group, were saying, hey, we're here not to be against the protesters. We're here not to fight anybody. We're here to show support. A lot of the, quote, Boogaloo boys even came out and said, we support BLM. We're behind BLM. We don't like the government. We don't like the police. So there's a lot of those people.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
For 3 days, a bunch of people who don't live in your neighborhood are shattering windows, smashing up cars, and torching things.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Me?
Yeah.
I'll handle it. Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm saying like in your mind, like how do you view the situation? Do you think?
Well, I don't call a 17-year-old kid who can't fight with a big ass weapon like I'm going to save the day. You know, I don't call him. No.
No, for sure. Like,
and then as soon as they go to attack him, he ran away. He ran away.
And then he ran away again.
So why not find someone that could put hands on the guy? Well, get some guy that could handle himself. If these are the guys they call, they called Kyle because they needed help. So call somebody that can handle it.
I don't think they called Kyle. I think they called, who was the other guy who's being prosecuted?
When you was a kid, Dominic Black.
They called him.
Honestly though, let me ask you something. If there's a street fight, and somebody says, I'll fight you. Come on, kill me, and runs up on you, and just some street dude, bow, 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 starts shooting him. Is this guy the hero? Was that self-defense? No.
But that's not what happened.
But that is what happened.
It's not what happened.
It was when Rosenbaum put his hands on Kyle's gun and seemed to want to take it from him.
Well, that's another thing.
If you grab my gun, bro, that's intent to kill.
Why? Because I seen you said that.
Dude,
said
are you for real right now?
No, I'll tell you right now. I saw you say that. What's the black man that got murdered? That
George Floyd?
No. Recently, Armory.
Ahmaud Arbery.
I heard you, the three crackers that you know killed him. I heard you defend the act like, well, he grabbed his gun. Yeah, of course. So if three guys come out like ready to kill you, your first movement is self defense. Grab shit.
Why did he run towards him?
What?
Who are you talking about? Ahmaud Arbery ran.
Yeah, because they come out the truck.
No, bro. They parked a block down from him, and he ran to them.
They came out of the truck. I saw the video.
And then he runs around the truck and grabs the gun.
Yeah, because you got three crackers out there ready to blast you and it's a threat to you. It's a threat to your life. So you can't defend these three guys. You're not defending them, are you?
The three guys with guns that murdered the man in the street? I think the one of the biggest challenges we face politically is when people have strong opinions on cases they don't know enough about.
I saw the video.
Well, you saw a video, did you know the police went to them and told them this is the guy we're looking for?
So what does that mean? So three crackers with guns could go, let's kill this Negro and let's get him.
But they didn't do that.
That is what happened. They see a black man and they say, oh, here's a black man in the street. And, you know, some people say he's jocking. Some people say, oh, no, he's not jocking. Oh, he went through this house. But people going through that house all the time.
No. People didn't go. It was him. It was him.
No, other people went in that house at all the time.
That's not true, bro.
That is fact.
That's fact. What evidence? Bro, that's not true.
Of course it is. They have video footage of other people in the house.
It was
at
one
times.
Guy. And a gun had gone missing from someone's truck.
They have video footage. So you are defending three random people in the streets shooting down an unarmed. Yeah. They killed him.
So what
do you mean they didn't kill him? They didn't shoot him.
Okay.
How did he die?
He grabbed the shotgun.
Yeah, what?
That's called dual possession.
What do you mean?
So when two people are holding one gun, it's called dual possession. They were fighting over a gun and the gun went off. The reason they got convicted was because the prosecution argued that the citizen's arrest was not justified.
There you go.
Because even though he was the specific felony suspect the police were looking for, the men who chased him down were only operating on the request of the police and not witnessing the crime itself.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
So listen, I'll explain to you.
Cool.
The police go to their house and say, this is the guy we're looking for who we believe is burglarizing the neighborhood. That's a felony charge. If you see him, let us know.
Which cops did that? And why did the cops go to citizens?
They were going door to door.
Help, please. That's find right. this guy for us.
The detectives went door to door saying, have you seen this man?
So then they come. So then they see the guy. And come out. Oh, let's get them.
So then they see the guy running down the street and they say, that's the guy.
Uh-huh.
Let's stop him. Why are they armed? Because he's a suspect in stealing a gun from a truck.
Yeah. There was no evidence that this was race related at all.
It was race related.
Do you have any evidence? Yes, of course. Do you have any evidence suggesting that there was race?
The racist guy who shot him.
How do you know he was racist?
Because there was past videos, there was past messages, there's past dialogue of him saying stuff about N words and this and that. That's all documented. Go look it up. That's all documented, highly documented. But, that's the thing.
But that still doesn't prove that it was a race-related event.
So,
or that maybe he changed his mind.
Okay, so if it was a white kid walking down the street in their neighborhood, they're not stopping.
I'm just saying it's questionable and it's making an assertion to think it was race-related.
Well, we know.
You know they do in Chicago.
What do they do in Chicago?
I lived off of 47th, South 47th. You cross 47th Street, you go from the Polish Hispanic area right into the black neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
If you are from south of 47th and you cross north, the police would just arbitrarily stop you, arrest you, and take you in for questioning. No questions.
Well, that's the police, and they shouldn't have the right to do that. But
no, for sure. But to argue that it doesn't happen anywhere else when I'm like, that was my childhood growing up.
Who argued that it didn't happen?
You just said if it was a white kid, they wouldn't have stopped him. But literally, I'm telling you, that's my
crackers in the van wouldn't have stopped them. They wouldn't have. They wouldn't. See some guy walking down the street, a black man, and, oh, get him, that's
the
criminal.
I just think you don't know anything about the case, bro.
I seen it.
So you know that
I know the way society
that was going
works.
On for 5 months, that they had installed security cameras all over the place. You didn't know the police went door to door saying, this is the guy we're looking for. You made it seem like they chased him down.
I don't care if the pigs put out this thing saying, hey, we're looking for this man. And then all of a sudden, they come out with guns, citizens, and then they shoot the guy dead in the street, and you're justifying that and rooting for that. That's crazy.
Who said I was rooting for it?
Well, the guy
who filmed it got life in prison.
He should.
For filming it?
He should.
For filming
it? Bro, that's Nazi shit.
It's not Nazi shit.
Bro, you're saying that someone who films a crime in progress should go to prison?
They're part of it.
Well, how is he part of it?
He brought the evidence that showed the world what happened. The world wouldn't know what happened if it wasn't for him. So why should he get
jail? He wasn't even with the guys. He was driving down the street. He saw the guy running and filmed it.
Here's the thing. We're talking about division. You were talking about how we divide everything and, what we want to do is divide, and that's what the government does. That's what the media does. But the thing is, we do the same shit here on this show.
We do. You're right.
It's like it's part of the division. And the clip she sent me today, and I'm not trying to be... fight with you guys on everything. I'm not trying to, that's not why I'm here,
But, no, but what you're
the,
thinking.
The clip that she showed me today was you guys talking about critical race theory. And that was crazy to me. I was like, what is it? Like the boogeyman. It's like almost like an anti-black thing, like where critical race theory is this big threat to white children all over the world.
Well, no, we don't say that.
Yeah, but you do.
No, we don't.
The clip that I seen, it was like, you were excited that they banned it from schools. Which is crazy to me. That's Nazi to me.
So
because you want
to know what my angle is?
I agree with you on is anti censorship of the internet. I think you're intelligent with that, and I agree with that. And she also said you're pro you're anti death penalty. I agree with you. So there's a lot of points that I agree with you on. But then,
so what about segregation? Are you in favor of?
Okay. Here, the critical race theory debate that you had, you guys started talking about Martin Luther King and his quote, what's the quote that you use for Martin Luther King?
People should be judged based on the kind of their character.
That's not even the quote, though. He said, I'd like my four.
I have a dream that my four little children will one day be judged.
That's
the
quote. So he's talking about his four little black babies who have been called the N word, who have been treated like garbage trash their whole life. So he has a dream that they could be looked at as equal people. And then you take that same exact clip and take that quote.
And say that my mixed race family shouldn't be segregated.
Yeah, but you're a white boy. I know you're Asian, but you're a white boy.
So,
walk down the street, nobody's like that. That mixed Asian guy.
No, they call me Hispanic.
Come on, man.
See, this is you being racist.
Yeah, okay, this is the anti-white stuff now, right?
Well, anti-white.
I mean, anti-white.
No. My experience growing up was being called racial slurs. Was being told I couldn't cross certain streets. Was being told that I have all the privilege of my white dad, but I'm also mixed, so I'm not entitled to that same privilege.
Come on.
And then you come in here and compare
black man on the planet.
And tell me that I'm supposed to compare myself to other races instead of just being allowed to be who I am and live the way I want to live. Why is it
that I say that? When did I say that?
You just told me to compare it to any other black man.
Yeah,
why can't I just be like, treat me like a regular human being regardless of my race?
Yeah, because critical race theory in schools, you're promoting banning that. Like, I don't understand how that's...
What do you think critical race theory is?
Well, that's
what's your understanding of it? Because we need to go down to the definition.
Why would you put Martin Luther King's name on it and say that he would be against it?
He didn't believe in discrimination.
Yes, he, and there's he didn't believe in discrimination.
Exactly, but there's people with institutional power pushing discrimination on people because of the way that they were born, and that's wrong. And that's what Martin Luther King was wrong.
But that's not what's happening. You fearmonger it.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Have you been paying attention to that?
Yes. Yes, I have.
So you think segregating
the University of Dearborn, Michigan, segregating white and black students?
So what I'm saying is, you take the nasty quote from like some lunatic hippie teacher in some weird state.
Derek Bell?
And you take a video clip of that and go like, look, this is what critical race theory is. It's some weird white lady saying some weird stuff.
Well, you don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Of course I do.
Who's Derek Bell?
Tell me about Derek Bell.
No, if you don't know.
No, tell me the name of Derek Bell because I know.
He's one of the originators and proponents
of
critical
race theory. Okay.
Who's Kimberly Crenshaw?
She's the writer of the 16...
And what do they believe?
Well, tell me what they believe. What did Martin Luther King believe?
He believed that we should judge people on the content of their color of skin.
That's the white boy quote that they all use to protect Martin Luther King.
Let me ask you this.
Whites, it must frankly be said, are not putting in a similar mass effort to re-educate themselves out of their racial ignorance. It is an aspect of their sense of superiority that the white people of America believe they have so little to learn. That's this. The reality of substantial investment to assist Negroes into the 20th century adjusting to Negro neighbors and genuine school integration is still a nightmare for all too many white Americans. Soon the doctrine of white supremacy was embedded in every textbook and preached in practically every pulpit. It became a structural part of the culture, and men then embraced this philosophy not as rationalization of a lie but as expression of a final truth. This is all Martin Luther King now.
So what do I disagree
That sounds
with
like critical,
that
critical race.
That's not what critical race theory is.
Of course it is. Because you have this fear-mongering.
You don't even know who Derek Bell is.
I don't know the name of the author.
You don't even know what he believes. You don't know what he wrote. Mark
Lamont Hill does that thing too where like when a right winger comes on his show, he say, well, who's the exact author? And then he wins the debate.
If you don't know what they believe, why are you telling me I'm wrong?
I've read on critical race theory. I know their theories.
What's the theory on Plessy versus Ferguson?
Here, you can take one quote and use that quote and say, this is the whole thing. This is the whole thing what critical race theory is, and it should be banned. So how many people believe in critical race theory in our country? There's
like 12%.
That's bullshit.
What?
That's your fan base.
That's not the real world. That's YouGov
data. That's not the real world. That data is not real.
The YouGov data is not real.
That data, 12% of the world believe in critical race theory.
No, United States.
I don't believe that. Manipulated data.
But what I'm saying is there's
big masses of people in America who believe in critical race theory and believe that it should be studied and taught to some people. So you believe, because you don't believe in it, you believe it should be banned or you celebrate that. And how is that when you're a free speech advocate, supposedly, how do you think it's okay for DeSantis to ban critical race theory?
Do you think they should be teaching kids the tenets of Christianity in grade schools?
Sure.
Like prayer.
They can teach about Christianity.
I'm saying, should they tell them, you must pray to the Lord?
That's not what they're doing with critical race theory. That's not real.
You've not researched it.
Now, I've researched it and I've seen the videos of people fear-mongering it and acting like they're indoctrinating our white children to hate themselves and they're making
But you haven't actually, I mean,
yes,
so
I have. I've watched just as many clips. I've read just as many articles as you. Yes, I have.
What's your definition of critical race theory? Articulate it.
Some of these teachers come in with the books they're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
One of them showed a whiteness contract that showed a white hand holding a contract with a devil tail coming
out. Yeah, that's the fear-monger ditto. You found one bad clip. That's not what critical race theory is.
How many books did you bring in?
It's been around for decades. It's been around for decades.
When they're telling kids in books by Ibram X. Kendi to contemplate on their whiteness, right? This is akin to telling someone to pray to the Lord. It's not teaching them about the ideas. It's teaching them to practice the ideas.
Who's the teacher? Show me the clip.
Let's pull up. Show me, I mean, it's from this show.
I think the delineation is teaching someone about communists as opposed to raising a child as a communist. Yes. Those are the and banning the right for someone to raise their children as communists in school is different than teaching them about communism as a theory.
Show me these children that are indoctrinated, that hate themselves, that believe white people are so terrible and we hate ourselves now because they're being taught about history.
So
they're not being taught about history.
Yes, they are. Of course they are. Of course they are.
A lot of it is emotional manipulation.
That you are not seeing these stories because they are outside of your purview.
No.
It's possible that these stories are out there. Because
I've watched the ones.
A little kid who came home and was like, "Mom, I feel bad because my teacher told me that I have subjugated my black classmates." She's like, "That's weird.
I want to say something important.
Oh, I feel bad for that white kid.
I want to say something
important. Yeah,
yeah. I don't feel bad.
I want to say something important. All right, this is great. I'm really glad you're here. Did I appreciate the
conversation? Yeah, no. I mean, it's all...
Can't reach, but...
the gorilla.
It's all about expressing your ideas.
That's what we wanted
to
do. You don't want to be boring. You want to have talks. That's why I said the...
But so the reason I said this because you just told Ian earlier in the show that he didn't know who Rakim was.
Yeah.
Rakim.
You were very, very critical of him, right?
Yeah, because he's a musician. Yeah.
But so you know, who are you to tell him as a musician he's supposed to know what you know? But then you're going to tell me or Luke as a journalist that you know that we don't that you know things. Like, you know, what I'm saying is
no. As a journalist, you're looking.
You're not a journalist.
You're looking for certain books to be banned. Which is
no,
crazy.
I'm not looking for books.
Yeah, you were celebrating the banning of Ron DeSantis banning
Praxis.
Critical race theory.
Praxis.
Okay, tell me what you're
Praxis
talking
about. Praxis is theory in practice. So mm-hmm. what they're doing in schools, we refer to as a critical race praxis. That's actually what they call it. We call it critical race applied principles as a pejorative crap, but quite literally it is called critical race praxis. Critical race theory is quite literally, as per Kimberly Crenshaw, rooted in critical theory, which is Marxism. Marx believed that, you know, we look at class through the oppressed and oppressor. He thought it was rich and poor. Kimberly Crenshaw said he doesn't understand the nature of race in America, and thus critical race theory was born that looks at oppressed and oppressor based on race, inherently that white people are all and always will be oppressors, and that people who are not white will experience detriment because of that. Well, they'll be oppressed because of it. What the schools are doing is... No school, no grade school, has taken out that book and said, here's a quote from Kimberly Crenshaw. What do you think that means? What they've done is...
Why are you so scared of that quote? Why are you so scared?
Scared of Praxis?
Why are you so scared of it?
Yeah. Why am I scared of Praxis?
Yeah, whatever you're talking about. Why is that scary to you?
It would be as bad as if they're teaching Christianity. I went to a Catholic school.
Yeah.
Not a fan. Yeah. So I think our schools should be areas where kids are taught to think critically, yeah. but not told to disregard or view people as enemies or with hatred.
Here's the thing is, there's a whole history of our books. Like we just read the Martin Luther King quote, right? Where all of our books have been filled with white supremacy. That's real. Do you disagree with that?
No, I wouldn't
all
say,
of all of our
well,
books?
Hold on. Exactly. I was going to say,
You were raised, we were all raised on white supremacy.
I wasn't.
Superiority. No. In school?
I wasn't.
You weren't raised on Christopher Columbia and American exceptionalism and pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America?
Right, bro.
All of that's white supremacy.
Let me give you the meme, alright? The meme is me saying I'm mixed race. My grandfather married a Korean woman. It was illegal when he did. He had mixed race kids. It was illegal when he did. My family was forced to flee 12 different states when people found out. I was raised by a second generation mixed race family who told me exactly what you're saying. Christopher Columbus didn't discover America. There were already
people. We're talking about the schools though. Because we're talking about why are you so, why
are you? I went to schools in heavily mixed areas. They taught us about the Trail of Tears. They taught us a lot of the stuff you're saying, but it was all from a classically liberal position. Not to teach us to hate one another, not to say that white people are inherent oppressors.
Yeah, but they're not teaching CRTs. They're not teaching people to hate.
They're not.
It's a, you know, systematic racism, which is real. White supremacy, which is real.
Just really quick. Do you think white people should be discriminated against because of history?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, what do you mean?
They should be denied access to opportunities and abilities because of their skin color.
What does that have to do with white? What does that have to do with Ron DeSantis banning critical race theory?
Because critical race theory teaches that people need to step aside, shut up, lose opportunities and abilities because of the way that they were born.
That's critical race praxis.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So I think one of the big challenges too is when the left argues critical race theory, they use the academic definition, and the right is talking about praxis specifically, and I think it's typically because you've got in Loudoun County, which is literally a minute from here, these are parents. They don't know legal critical theory stuff. All they know is their kid came home one day and said, "Mommy, are white people evil?"
Well, it's a good question.
So a woman,
"Mommy, are white people evil?" Yeah, look at all the evils white people have done historically forever since our existence.
What about Japanese people?
The Romans gave white people a bad name.
Are Japanese people all evil like that too?
What was it, Unit 431? Yeah.
Why is it only white people that are getting picked on here?
Well, because we live in America, and it was a society raised on Christian white people values. That was what it always was. So, and white people were always superior. White people were the best. White people were the smartest. White people had all the opportunities. They've been keeping, you know, black people in prison. They've been throwing drugs in the street. The CIA contaminated the streets.
We don't disagree with any of that.
We don't disagree with that.
So what I'm saying is when that's the society we come from, I mean, right from, you know, right after the Civil Rights Act, it's like you act like anything changed, you know.
But the Western world was one of the first, you know, countries, a part of it that stopped slavery. You look at the continuation of slavery, especially what
have
happened
to do
with the Middle East.
Still
because
racist.
If you want to go after people for evil and
but
history,
we live here.
We're talking about
critical race theories in our schools.
What policies?
What policies are you for?
No. You said which racist policies?
What do you mean?
You said the policies are still racist.
Okay, let's look at the jail system. Like look at the percentage of people in jail that are brown compared to white. How many is it?
Bro, I
52%, and you probably talked about this a million times. I'm for
abolishing the current system of prisons that we have.
Yeah, so that's right there. You asked me name one. That's one.
But see, here's the thing, man. Like, you know, I did a documentary years ago on Pruitt-Igoe. You know, what caused Ferguson? Why people were rioting? So I know full well about blockbusting Red Line, especially being from Chicago.
Yeah, of course,
we oppose all these things.
Yep.
So critical race theory is the re-embodiment of a lot of these same problems.
What's your biggest fear of critical race theory that's going to happen? A white boy comes home and goes like, "Mom, are we evil?" That's your biggest fear?
That's messed up.
But is that your biggest fear?
No.
Is that your biggest fear that you think
that's true? Is that right? Is that okay?
My fear is okay.
Do you think that is okay?
Yes, it is okay.
You think someone learning to hate themselves is okay?
No, they're not hating themselves. They ask the question. Like, they look at their history and say, look at all the evil white people have done in America.
And authority figures are saying why are we only focusing on them? Why not all the other evils?
There's a lot of other things being taught in school. So why are you only
Why aren't Japanese people told the same thing?
Why aren't you only focusing on critical race theory like it's the boogeyman, like it's the scary thing that ever happened, and you're celebrating, ban it.
That was one clip.
Because
you've been against CRT, man.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is you can't look at one subject and say, why aren't we talking about other things? Because we bring up Epstein, we bring up Assange.
Yeah, but we're talking about the school, in school. Why aren't you arguing anything else taught in the schools?
Like
why aren't you looking to ban other books in schools or other subjects in
school?
I don't want any books banned in school. You want to ban books that are CRT related, yes.
The praxis.
So you want to keep the books in the school, the CRT 100%. Books?
100%.
Oh.
If the teacher has the book and says, this is what the political controversy is about, here's why. In this book, it depicts a white person as the devil. Do you understand why people are upset about
that? Show me that book. I saw the picture. I saw the one book. And show me a class where the kindergarten kids, the grade school kids and the junior high school kids are being taught this
private
book.
Private Manhattan School teaches children
I've
from
seen,
both the
I've seen that book
country.
And that picture, that one page of
and they're doing it down here, man. Yeah. They're doing it in our local schools. Loudoun County is 1 minute. You get on the road and 30 seconds away, you're in Loudoun. And there was a huge controversy.
So you think it's wrong to teach your children about the evils of what white people have done in our country?
That's not what we're doing.
Why would that be wrong?
That's
this
not wrong.
Book
you, I agree. You're right.
Says,
why would that be wrong?
This book literally says whiteness is a bad idea. It's a bad deal.
Which book said that?
The book we just pulled up.
We just looked at. Let's look at it.
I mean, bro. They shouldn't be depicting any race as the devil.
Yeah. Why would you do
well,
that?
Well, that's this is the fear-mongering.
Whiteness is
no,
a
no, 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 no. Of course
we're
it is. That's
book.
That's the
no,
that's
it's
the,
not. Okay, this okay. is what kids
this,
are going
you
through.
You know what you're doing right now?
This is what kids are going through.
No, it's not. It's not true.
Yes.
Okay, let me make my point. You know what you're doing right now by showing that one little clip. Oh, look, this is it. That's Occupy Wall Street. You guys were the protesters at Occupy Wall Street. Remember when that was happening? They'd be like, oh, girls are getting raped and people just shit and piss in the street and that's what it is. That's not what it was. But they take the really ugly moment or the ugly lesson and they sensation, that's it. And they pretend like that's what the whole movement is.
We had a stack of about 20 books here.
She brought a whole bag.
And they all had
who
that?
Brought them?
That's the worst page you had?
That or related
oh, no,
to
this
it?
This isn't the worst. The worst was a book that was actual literal depiction of a child in a compromising position, a compromising adult position.
Oh, yeah.
They show this to
that's not what critical race theory is.
School.
No,
ask
her.
You know what? You know what? Okay.
But it is part of this weird
practice. Yeah, so why are we bringing that up?
Kind of
see, that's more fear-mongering when you're bringing up a sexual this thing into critical race theory. That is a tactic. Because why would you even bring it up?
No. I agree. Let's not even – we'll get into that. That's critical gender theory. That's a different thing that we've also talked about. But I'll give you that one. My issue with critical race theory, I'll tell you exactly what it is. So I come from two generations of interracial families. My mother it wasn't until I think she was like 11 years old, she was able to actually say my parents are mixed race, because it wasn't until Loving v. Virginia happened. I think it was 1967. Mm-hmm. She wasn't legally allowed to cohabitate with her siblings or her my mom or my grandmother or my grandfather, because they were all different races. That was illegal.
So should this be forgotten?
No, that's
like
my
the
point.
Way black people are supposed to forget
so,
their
so,
history.
So I'll tell you this. So I grew up with this, right? And so I've got two generations of white. I got a grandfather and I got a father who straight up said this was wrong and love is love. And I remember when my dad would tell me, he was like, you know, your mom's side of the family knew it. It doesn't matter who you love or why you love them. Love is love. And my family was very accepting. They were pro gay rights, all that stuff. They opposed all the racism. And then I one day go to Occupy Wall Street and they told me I wasn't allowed to speak because I look too white. And so I said, I've got some experiences I could share.
Who said that now?
The facilitators.
Who's the facilitator?
That
was
the self-appointed group that controlled who was allowed to speak.
So there was one person that said
one.
That to you.
No, yeah. It was like
so it was everybody seven, said, yeah. You look too white, you can't do
it. Yeah, it was called the Progressive Stack.
Yeah.
And what happened was one day I stood up and I raised my hand and the guy looked at me and says, anyone less white?
Yeah, he was trying experience. To be. That sounded
no,
like
no,
he was trying
dude.
To be funny.
Why
know?
Are
no,
you excusing wait, discrimination why? And racism?
Because that sounded like a funny joke. It don't sound real.
I tried progressive to talk stack. To, hold on. The progressive stack is well known at Occupy Wall Street. They would write down who was allowed to speak based on
I'll
their reverse privilege.
Okay.
So if you were a gay woman, you had to speak first. If you were a black woman,
okay.
And if you looked white, one guy actually was told he couldn't speak because he was white, and he said, "I'm gay," and they went, "I'm sorry, you can speak now."
Yeah.
That all went.
That's the world that they're living in. That's the world that they're teaching kids to live in.
No, no. And that has nothing to do with critical race theory, though. And that has nothing to do with your kids are living in. That's ridiculous.
That's what they're doing. They're raising kids to live in a society
who,
like
what,
this.
What?
Bro,
that's the society that they're creating.
What is that? How?
I'm going to give you an example. Yeah,
give me you know, this is a personal experience that you said happened
Asra,
to you.
Asra is her name, right?
At Operation. I mean, that's something that you claimed happened to you, right? So now you're going to put your negative experience into critical race theory in the school because, you know, you're you know, triggered from you know, Occupy Wall Street
or
something?
No, because we have the Loudoun County battle just across the street from us. You
know, and all the kids are crazy there and they hate themselves because they're white?
The kids went to their parents and said things that caused parents alarm, and then parents in large numbers went and said, why are my kids saying these things?
Yeah.
So we had Asra Nomani on. She's been on many shows. She's been on, like, mainstream television.
Yeah, Tucker, I think.
Like, I don't want to say Tucker. She's been on, cool. Like, she was, like, on ABC or something.
Everything, yeah.
She brought us a stack of books. I think it was, like, 20 books. Mm-hmm. And she told us where they were being taught, how they were being taught. And some of them outright say, like, the Ibram X. Kendi book says, think about, you know, what your whiteness is and, you know, close your eyes and then think about how, you know, you think other people perceive you as a white person and why that's wrong and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not okay with telling little kids to make a race-based society. I think we should stop using race as a way to discriminate against people. I think people should have equal access and equal opportunity. And I think schools telling kids to accentuate race and to see it is making kids actually divide themselves.
Yeah, I understand that. And that's how you feel. But the problem that I have is the same thing that I keep saying, is that you agree with them banning it from the
Praxis.
School because a lot of people disagree with what you're saying.
A lot of people
I disagree with Christianity
yeah,
in schools.
Yeah, but
too.
A lot of people disagree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
So now we say, oh, step into Santa, save the day from these black point of views that we
that's
don't
not,
agree
but it's
with.
Not, it's not black point of views. No, it's not because we hold on. Let me just explain this because if you just keep saying it's all
how
white
is it not?
People,
how is it not?
Oh, because let me explain it. If you just
white
say
authors
it's
writing
only,
books are not black people,
it's only white
there's
people.
There's a lot of black people wrote.
It's only
books.
White people that did this and white people that did this. Why are you obfuscating the Muslim slave trade that still happens right now in Libya? Why are you obfuscating the fact of African tribes enslaving other tribes? Why are you not
because
giving up truth?
Because we live in the United States of America.
Why are you saying it's only them people that are responsible for all of your problems instead of taking personal responsibility?
Because we're talking about the history of America here. That's what we're talking about. We could go into other subjects,
Obviously, and I think
you guys are the ones that are afraid of critical race theory that is going to make white boys feel bad, white kids feel bad for some reason.
That's an oversimplification.
I'm also worried about mixed race kids who have repeatedly complained about this.
Yeah. What'd they say?
So there was one kid who was he was mixed race black.
Yeah.
And he was told that he was too white, so he was an oppressor, and then the school made him go into an oppressor group, the classroom or something.
Oh, because of the class. The class made him do that.
The teacher did.
So critical race theory made that happen.
That's praxis. Yeah. So let me explain again just to make sure it's clear. Critical race theory as a core academic viewpoint should absolutely 100% be in schools. Critical race praxis should not, in much the same way we shouldn't be teaching Christianity's praxis, Christian praxis.
Okay.
So both of those I think are wrong. Muslim praxis, Jewish praxis should not be in schools. We should not tell a kid, I want you to sit down, close your eyes, and reflect on how you've offended the Lord. We also shouldn't be saying, close your eyes and reflect on how whiteness is a problem for society. We should be saying, here's what people who are Jewish believe. Here's why they believe it. Here's what critical race theory is and why people believe it. There you are, my friend. Okay. I've informed you.
You inform me.
Do you disagree?
I'm not saying you. I'm saying the teacher should tell kids, here's what's going on.
Yeah, all right.
Do you disagree with any of those statements? Do you disagree with any of those sentiments? Do you disagree with the segregation of people?
The segregation of people. I don't agree that critical race theory is segregation of people. That's what the issue is. I think you pick and choose little quotes. We were talking critical race theory from the whole start of the conversation and then praxis.
But here's the issue is that we've already stated we agree critical race theory should
be taught in school and they shouldn't ban it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, when we're talking about critical race theory, there's like two different semantic versions.
Yeah.
So typically when we're referring to it, we're talking about the praxis of.
So you're not talking about the one that they teach in law school or something. You're talking about the one that they.
Schools should tell kids Christopher Columbus didn't discover America. He discovered it for Europeans. Native Americans were already here.
Yeah, but how often do you talk about that on your podcast?
I almost every time.
Oh, okay, cool. There you go.
Yeah. Even before Columbus, there was another guy before him. Exactly.
That was my childhood. My mom told me all that stuff.
I heard that in public school.
Yeah, but what's
I heard that in New York City public school.
What your parents taught you, because.
I went to taught this.
And you also brought up how your mixed parents, they weren't allowed to get married and all of that stuff, but that wasn't just.
Grandparents.
Yeah. So my grandparents was the same thing and they were white, It was like my Sicilian grandmother and my Scottish grandfather. And they got married, and the Sicilians hated that it was a Scottish person.
They didn't go to jail,
so they kicked them out the family.
They didn't go to jail.
No, but we're still talking about different kinds of supposedly.
Hold on, man.
What? Like, tell me.
You go to jail. They were called anti-miscegenation laws. If they found out that two people of different races were in the same building cohabitating, you got arrested.
My
family had to flee.
Okay.
When people found out, because people were coming after him for it. It wasn't like, my family's mad at me.
Yeah, okay, yeah. All right.
So here's what I see with the praxis. Yeah. I'm seeing these same stories manifest themselves before my eyes. I'm seeing, I was doing a documentary on Cop Watch. I'm literally hanging out with people and we're complaining about police brutality. And then one woman who was more Asian than I was says, no, you don't have a right to speak on this because you're not Asian enough.
Are you hurt?
Am I hurt
by
this?
Yeah, are you really hurt? Like, did this really destroy you from figuring anything out in life and being successful and doing your thing? Are you really that hurt by somebody saying, you're not Asian enough? Oh, you're not gay enough. Are you really hurt by it?
Is that the type of society you want to live in?
What?
You think
where
that
people,
someone went up to
obsess about race?
But
people are obsessing about race.
You're saying that I should accept people telling me that when they discriminate against me based on being mixed race,
Who discriminates? You know, if you go to get a house, you'll get a house just easier than anybody. Everything, you know, there's not no discrimination. People are going to go and see you. You're going to get everything you want. You look like a white boy. That's, it's all good.
See, bro, like, it's the craziest thing to me.
You think you're being discriminated against in society? Like, on a big scale? Like, there's this
big gradient.
What?
It's a gradient.
What do you mean?
So, like, obviously, I'll be discriminated against less than other people.
Yeah, of course.
But I get discriminated
way
against.
Way less.
And it's just fascinating.
But way less.
How do you know about that?
Well,
he'll admit to that. That's why.
Let me tell you the funniest thing about it.
You get discriminated against less than Jews, blacks, Hispanics, I'm sure.
How do you know?
You'll admit to it, right?
No.
You won't? You really believe you get discriminated against more than blacks, Jews, and Hispanics? You really believe that?
No, I'm just telling you, you're a racist.
Good.
Like, because
if that's really what you think, I'm a racist.
You are.
What I just said is fact, though.
But you're overtly racist. Look at you and I make a predetermination about what your life experiences
were
based on what
you look like. But you got discriminated against. You do get discriminated against less than blacks.
You don't know that.
I do know it.
You don't.
I don't need to.
I will say this. Black people, can you admit to it? Admit to what?
You don't admit that you have a lesser discrimination problem than Hispanics, Jews, and blacks?
I believe that I get discriminated against less than black people in this country.
Not Latinos. Really? I don't agree with that, man.
Because you're racist.
Yeah, okay.
No, hold on.
No, because I know how American...
Don't dismiss me, Carly.
I will dismiss you because I know how American society
works.
Who's
my community?
I'm a realist.
Who's my community?
Do I get to
go to my Latino church? When I get people calling me slurs, do I get to then go?
Who is calling you slurs? Bro, walk to the store. Let's go to the stores. Let's run around. Let's live life together. Come on.
I move out of these places for a reason.
Yeah. Oh, because everybody's racist against you?
No.
I don't buy it, but this is
the fascinating thing to me, that you could claim to be the proponent of critical race theory, but overtly tell me, you know my experiences better than I do, and my views on my...
Oh, I definitely know that you're discriminated less than black people, Hispanics, and Jewish people.
You're going to tell me
what
life is like for a second-generation mixed-race person. You know better.
Yes.
Bro, where are you from?
Where
are you from?
I'm from Long Island.
You're from Long Island. You're white.
Yeah.
You got blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea what I went through.
Yes, I do.
No, you think...
You look like a white boy. More than everybody in the room, you're a white
blonde
boy.
Hair, blue eyed Luke.
You look like
blonde
a white
hair,
boy.
Blue eyed Ian.
You
blonde
can
hair,
act like
brown-eyed
the, you
Lydia.
Can act like the victim, but you're a white boy to people. You walk the streets, you're a white boy. The cops pull you over, you're a white boy. That's what it is. You know, your grandparents...
That's not true.
But
it's just literally
the cops pull you over, you ain't a white boy.
They say, hola, bro.
Yeah.
I'm from the south side of Chicago.
So some people mistake you that you're Hispanic sometimes. So you don't think an actual real Hispanic would be, you know, put on the spot more than you? Like, an actual real Hispanic.
This is where I start to understand, you know, and this is why I understand a lot of progressive point of views. This is why I actually believe in... You know, a lot of the work we did as a society with, like, ending blockbusting or whatever. Because you're a dude who grew up in an overwhelmingly white area.
How do you know that?
You're from Long Island.
Long Island. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Do you know the parts in Long Island?
All right. So you didn't grow up in a white area?
I grew up in all over Long Island. Black areas, white areas, all over. Yeah.
So
there's a lot of hardcore, crazy places in there.
Let me be real.
I grew up in the rap community when I was a fucking... Before I had hair on my balls. And, you know, everybody that I rocked with... I was in a black community from Wyandanch
to
Hempstead.
Do you have like ancestry? Do you have like a place to go, like a community?
What does that mean?
You mentioned Sicilian. Do you have a grandma,
my grandmother's from Sicily.
I don't have any of that, bro.
Yeah.
When I went back to Korea, they told me that I was wrong. They said you were a fascinating obscurity to us.
And you were really hurt by it?
Are you kidding me?
They say you're
this is amazing. The amount of like...
No, because the, you know, here's the thing.
You think I shouldn't deserve people, these things. I shouldn't have a heritage for my life.
Yeah, but you guys whine about how...
Yeah, we need a society that does away with discrimination on the basis of race like you do. You make assumptions about me, what I went through. I know
you lived a decent life. I know it. Just by looking at you.
I'm a lower class.
I know it.
I'm a mixed race high school dropout from the South Side, bro. I got dead friends from gang conflict, from heroin overdose.
Not all of us. Everybody in this room got dead friends from heroin. Everybody got dead gang members. All of us.
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah. The guy that don't know
recognize. Luke may be South Brooklyn.
I do. But listen, you can't judge a person on their own personal merits just because of the way that they look. Like, do you want a society where everyone's obsessing about race and their skin color and
judge on it?
Do you think that's fair?
I just think when you get somebody like that, because you go to the defense of the cops all the time. I see you do, like you go to the defense
like
of
when I tweet abolish the police?
No, when you were rooting for Derek Chauvin, shit like that. You know, so when
because
when,
of the law,
because of the law, because he stepped on the guy's neck. You're rooting for Derek Chauvin. You're rooting for the black man, the guy that murdered the black man. You root for these people.
No, we root for facts.
Facts, yeah. He stepped on the guy's neck for 9 minutes, and everybody saw it, and that's undebatable. No matter
what
you say,
we agree.
A person,
but it's like
who is discriminated against in society, like a black man. Who actually goes through this stuff has real pain. So you to go, oh, I went back to Asia where you know, and they said you look like a fabulous part. Whatever you said, that doesn't feel like real pain to me. That doesn't feel like pain to me. And I think we live in a society where, like, you know,
you don't have that, bro.
I don't have what?
You don't have my experiences.
Being a white rapper in a community in the 80s, it didn't have that, where if you do the wrong thing.
You chose that.
Yeah, exactly, and it was great.
You're a racist.
So do you
call me a racist? You're a racist.
I didn't choose
I
my
watch
life.
Your videos. You root for Derek Chauvin. That's racist 101. You did.
We
were like, great news for Derek Chauvin's trial.
What really happened
is the world saw a man stepping on a man's neck for 9.5 minutes, and then you defended it.
Because George Floyd said, get me out of the car and put me on the ground.
So? He was unarmed. So he deserved to die because of that?
I didn't say that.
So what's the problem?
I don't even know why you're bringing up Chauvin when I'm talking about
you. No, because you call me a racist and you're the guy talking about...
I'm calling you a racist.
Yeah, and I'm calling you a racist.
You told me that I don't have
the guy Armrioti grabbed his gun.
You said, I don't got real pain. My experiences don't matter. And
just talking about we're men here.
Yeah, dude.
We live in a society. We're men. We're strong men here. You can't handle somebody said you're fantastic. Whatever the hell they told you. You know. So call me racist all you want, because you look at me
and you're like, I know what your life was.
Yeah, I do.
And that's not true.
And it's not because
it's not true.
I don't think that's fair at all.
It's your eyes. It's the way you look and the way you think.
So I pull myself out of the gutter.
The way that you're pro police and pro militarization.
I don't think saying abolish the police over again is pro police.
You guys aren't
bro.
Being racist, you're being prejudicial. It's
no, it's racist.
It's okay. Yeah,
yeah. Bro, have you seen me tweet 87 times abolish
you're
the
not
police?
Racist.
Yeah, abolish the police, but meanwhile then you champion Derek Chauvin, so that you know, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's really quite simple. Like,
and you said, "Oh, they sent the bad guy, the police sent those three crackers to save the day, and that's why they had guns."
Didn't.
And
I
you
never said
and
that.
You defended it. So you defend the murdering of black people. I don't defend the murdering of you or anyone on the planet.
You see, what you're doing is you're taking everything I said out of context.
No, I didn't.
I didn't say what these guys did was right. In fact, I said the letter of the law.
But you defended them all. You defended all the black bodies being murdered.
And why you call them bodies?
Because they were dead bodies.
Human beings.
Yeah.
God,
human
dude.
Beings.
Yeah, dead bodies. People. The fucking cops murdered them.
Who?
The cops murdered these people.
No, I'm just asking which story, because we're talking about specific stories. I'm not trying to, I'm like, we're,
the ones that you defend.
Which one?
Chauvin stepping on a man's neck.
Okay, that's one. Do you have another one?
Oh, you want me to go through a list of
bro,
black
you've not
men
watched
ever.
My content on any of this stuff. You're making assumptions about what I believe.
Okay, so tell me what you believe about black men being murdered.
They shouldn't be.
Okay, so then why do you defend their killers?
Who?
The three crackers.
What did I say about Chauvin?
Yeah, you said, pull up the clip again.
The one where I said it was wrong, that it looks like murder, that he shouldn't defend his neck for 9 minutes.
And also, you...
Or are you talking about...
No, the
where,
one when you were like, Derek Chauvin got big news, yeah, you know, like all of that
when,
kind
when
of stuff.
When we're talking about the trial, and the state prosecutor came out and said he was justified...
See, you know your videos... Oh, yeah, you were like...
Yeah. So the prosecutor brought in a witness...
No, you just defended that... Because he got out the car, that meant something. I mean, what kind of mental crazy stuff is that?
You believe the guy filming the thing should go to jail for the rest of his life?
Yeah,
okay,
that's crazy.
Okay, okay.
Now that's mental.
Well, no. Okay, let me tell you about that now.
That's fascist, bro.
Well, no, let me tell you about that.
Go ahead.
That was a mistake. I was in the heated. I was thinking about the two guys, the murder trial, and when he said. The filming that I take back. That was a mistake.
So he shouldn't have life in jail.
Yeah, the guy to film. Yeah.
So I
was heated in my argument about something else, and I take that.
But that
back
definitely doesn't cool. show white privilege.
Respect, bro.
Yeah,
appreciate that, dude. For real.
Yeah. Well, it's
and honestly, you start over here calling me a racist. So you know, I'm like, you know, we're supposed to have a friendly conversation.
Well, let me ask you, how do you think it feels for me? Having actually, I'm not going to pretend like I deal with racism the same as a black dude in this country.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah.
How do you think it feels when you, like, you're a white dude, and I deal with white progressives.
As white as they come.
That to me is like, yeah. When I go to Occupy Wall Street, for instance, they called me Puerto Rican, they called me Mexican, they didn't call me
white.
Who's
they?
The people who are there.
Yeah, one person here or there, you know.
Many of them. Yeah. Like, bro, I have stories about how there was a group of people, there were like five people having a discussion, and there was a white dude and there was a black woman. And the black woman called me white and the white dude called me Mexican.
Yeah.
So I'm not pretending like I have worse discrimination against me than black people in this country.
That doesn't sound too hard, you know.
So. But it is fascinating to me that, like, you would claim to say, you know, white people this, you know, critical race theory. And then when I'm like, I've experienced racism, you're like, no, you haven't.
Yeah. Well, no, I just said on the level. Yeah, you're telling me some of the things that you've experienced, the racism you've experienced, and it didn't sound too complicated.
You know, my parents told me when I was a kid.
What'd they tell you?
To make sure I lie on all of my job applications. Because discrimination against Asian people and white people is allowed.
Yeah, because they knew that you could get away because you're white. They're like, yo,
no. They told me to put Hispanic.
Oh, they did?
And my mom tried teaching me Spanish.
What was that all about? Yeah. What was that?
Well, because you can't if in the court of public opinion, you can't discriminate against people for being Latino.
Yeah.
Okay. But you can discriminate against them for being Asian. Like,
okay.
Critical race theory.
That's hard.
For instance. You know, if Asian kids want to get into Ivy League schools, they got to score substantially higher on the test.
That's hard.
Yeah, Asian kids shouldn't be allowed to go to college. I get it, right? Yeah.
It's always, but why should they be denied the access to education?
Hold on, you're saying they're educated. So me, from the South Side of Chicago, high school dropout, should not be allowed to go to college.
I didn't say that.
But should I have a harder time to do it? Yeah, they should put me through a rigorous test because of my race that makes it harder for me to accomplish my goals.
It's still you're not going to convince me that you're some, you know, that the world of racism is against you. You're not going to convince me. Like you're this deprived, you know, Asian student that everybody's against, and they thought you were Mexican at one point in your life. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Do you understand why I called you racist?
It's funny.
Listen, I'm literally telling you this happened to me, and you're saying, I don't care, I don't believe you.
No, it's...
Someone, second generation mixed race, says, listen to me, you're a dude, you're white.
There's a black man walking around the streets, and some crackers came and shot him up, but, you know, he was suspected, and the cops, you know, that's a lot worse than me dealing with your struggle.
But talking about one story where you're ignoring the court case, the evidence, I'm not talking about the race of the issue in that story. You're talking
about... But every story that you go to...
Like the story I just did where the cop shot the black dude for picking up his gun and I said it was wrong.
Okay, which one was that?
So there's a car accident.
Okay.
Black dude walks up to the dash of his car to grab his gun. Mm-hmm. He's legally allowed to have him. Cop shoots him.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It is terrible. It was wrong.
I'm glad you agree that that's wrong.
See, like,
who knows? But if they made a big public thing out of it, next thing you know, you might be on your podcast talking about, well, I think the issue is he was on drugs.
We've got two big stories.
Do you think it was
like
a big deal?
Ahmaud Arbery and Chauvin. Mm-hmm. And when we follow the facts of the case, you don't like that.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay, so I'll give you an example. In the Derek Chauvin trial, uh-huh. One of the witnesses, the use of force expert for the prosecution, said Derek Chauvin was justified in his use of force and would have been justified to use more.
Well, he's wrong.
That was the prosecutor.
We saw 9.5.
But it wasn't. That was the prosecutor who said that.
Yeah, and that pull up the whole case, and now you could see the person. What about the guy that said no? He was murdered. Who was that? You know what I'm talking about, or you don't pay attention to those sides?
So who's the guy that went on the stand?
The guy went on the stand. He was, forgot.
There was the guy who went on stand,
and they said, "Well, did he have drugs in his system?" He's like,
"Yes,
yes, possibly."
No, he said yes.
He said yes.
Substantial amounts.
So, who the hell cares? Why does that matter?
Well, how does that matter?
Why does that matter?
Because you're wrong.
No,
for me,
you said possibly.
No, okay.
I don't care.
Why does the fact that he have drugs in his system even matter? Because you were wrong. I wasn't wrong.
No. You said
no. We know George Floyd had drugs in his system.
Let me clarify because it's irrelevant.
Now you're doing semantics, probably.
No.
What? I wasn't wrong.
The reason I corrected you is because it's important to make sure the facts are correct.
Okay.
George Floyd had, I think, four different drugs.
Five.
What does it matter?
It doesn't.
What does it matter?
No, hold on. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I brought it up because you said possibly.
Okay.
And I'm saying
so
he
the
had
guy
a
said,
large amount.
Did he have drugs? Yes. Was he maybe, did he have a heart problem? Yes. He said, was he murdered? Yes. And that was on the stand as well. Did you know that guy's name or the, did you know
is that
part of the coroner?
We covered all of it. The coroner.
The defense had a family coroner and then the offense, the prosecution had another coroner, like a state coroner.
Yeah, the coroner literally said, Yes, he was murdered. So you bring up the one guy.
I covered that substantially.
Yeah, so then why don't you bring it up now, though?
We do.
Yeah, but why didn't you just bring it up now? Why'd you bring up the
You asked me why I defended him, and I said, in the court proceeding, what you're referring to specifically is there were several instances in which the state's own witnesses were seen by many legal experts, left and right, as beneficial to Chauvin.
Yeah.
But I also brought up, I think, maybe like seven times that the initial coroner's report said knee to the neck, homicide.
Okay, there you go. So that's case closed.
Right. So when we're talking specifically about my experiences and you refusing to accept them.
Are you still hurt over that?
Yeah, it does hurt. It does hurt. It does.
About that, bro?
Why?
Grown-ass man. You really hurt about that? Because we talk about society, how we're all whiny babies, liberal tears, and you're still crying over that.
So you're asking me what I don't like about critical race theory, right?
Yeah.
And I tell you, like, well, in my life, I've dealt with racism and I don't like it. And then you say, oh, now you're crying about it. Wah, whiny baby. Yeah, like, bro, you embody exactly what I don't like about critical race theory. You dismiss my experiences.
Now,
you tell me I don't
But I'm not a critical race theorist. If you want a critical race theorist or historian, bring Mark Lamont Hill on here and debate him.
You're a defender of it.
Mark Lamont Hill will body you in every aspect of that. But, we're not talking about that.
You really would not.
Oh, of course he would.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, debate him right away. Do it tomorrow.
You know, we don't really do debates on the show, to be completely honest.
Do it. You know?
But, you know, when they happen, they happen.
But I don't know. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
But so here's the issue. I'll tell you exactly what I
don't
like.
Don't be hurt. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I love you. We're good.
What I don't like is I don't want to live in that world.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a victim.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in a world where I have to.
Where somebody mistakes you for Mexican once or twice. You know,
Let me explain it to you because I think you choose not to understand it.
Yeah.
Do you have a family?
Mm-hmm.
Does your family have a history?
Yes.
You know your family's history?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I have nothing to retreat to. I have no community. When people come at me, there's no... What does it mean? It means in the areas of Chicago that are segregated by race,
mm-hmm.
when something goes down, you've got a community, you've got a neighborhood, you've got a church, you've got a family. Yeah, I don't have any of that stuff.
My mother was an immigrant.
So... She you have family back
in.
You got a history to go look into.
Yeah, but where'd your family come from? They just appeared. Where are they from?
I can go back to before the split.
You're still whining about if you go back home to where you're from that they won't accept you. That's what you're crying about. I'm talking about
how like there's white neighborhoods, there's Latino neighborhoods, there's black neighborhoods, and I'm not allowed in any of them.
Oh, the white neighborhood will take you. I promise.
Well, actually, the area I grew up in was mixed.
Yeah. Shave your beard.
When the white supremacists smashed our windows up, I'm pretty sure you're right, right? Yeah. When they went to my house and they smashed my windows, the white people attacked us.
Who did that? The white people? Oh, there's the, what'd they use?
Bricks?
What'd they call you? The Asians are in there. Get them. That's
they
what
didn't
happened.
Know what we were.
Exactly.
They put pamphlets talking about impure race mixing on our porch.
Oh, really?
They smashed up our...
Really? I don't believe that.
Because you're a racist.
I don't believe it.
All right, let's keep
that
this.
The Asian guy lives in the house.
This is the problem with critical race theory.
That has nothing to do with critical
my
race theory.
My experiences are fake to you.
With it.
And when I tell you what happens,
I'm
don't care.
I don't believe in banning critical race theory. That's
neither
different.
Do I.
You know? So there we go. But what you're going to do, you don't like what I'm saying, and you know your viewers aren't going to like what I'm saying, and what a jerk that guy is. So you're going to say, this is critical race theory, RA, which I'm not even close. I never wrote a book on it, never taught a class on it.
I'm not trying to act like you're an author.
Okay, that's the same shit. Okay, you supported Trump. So if you say
something
something stupid, that's what they do. Oh, he said something stupid. He supports Trump. That has nothing to do. If you don't like what I believe or what I say, just because I support banning something.
I agree with you. You're right. Yeah. I don't like racism.
Neither do I.
I don't like it when white people come to me and say my experiences didn't happen.
But, you're still hurt. That's
it is true.
Come on, you gotta.
It's true. I agree.
I'm crying over that, man. You're completely right. You don't have your history.
You're completely right.
You should go
to the schools and tell them the same thing.
What? That you're a white boy?
No. Go to the schools and tell all the people who have grievances over their race that they don't.
Oh, come on.
Tell them to stop crying about it. I agree with you.
You cry about, you complain about transgenders, transphobias, and all this stuff, and woke culture, but then you're just as sensitive and hurt as everybody else.
I've never denied that.
Okay. So
you accuse me of doing exactly what you're doing. You say that we single out a certain issue. You come here and you act like we're this stereotype image of what you think these people believe, anti-woke or whatever, when I actually just said the other day that Leah Thomas, the trans swimmer, followed all the rules, and I have no sympathy for the women who didn't say anything about it.
Okay.
But But you come here and you act like you know me. You tell me my experiences didn't happen.
Yeah, but you keep repeating that. We're over that already about your
experiences. Well, don't make it personal. Stick to the facts. What facts do you have to present other than saying, I don't believe you? Like, do you have any, like, facts or statistics or documents that you could show us that could argue your argument?
I haven't lived with Tim. I didn't grow up with Tim.
Yeah.
So I you know, maybe he had this horrible just upbringing question, where everybody treated him terrible.
But you're white yourself. Yes. Do you feel that you have privilege or that you hate yourself because of the way you're born?
Well, I know the people in the comments he hates himself. Self-hating white. They love to say that. But no, I don't hate myself at all, you know.
Do you have any guilt for being white?
No, no guilt, but I definitely know that there was privilege involved in my life.
So you feel privileged?
Definitely. Definitely there was privilege in my life, yes.
Well, here's what I don't want.
And I definitely know there's privilege in your life.
Yeah, it's like a familiarity privilege. I don't even think it's a race thing. It's just if you look like the rest of the people in that area, it doesn't matter beyond that, almost. Yeah. I got discriminated against heavily in South America. It was really weird.
What I don't like is...
In a good way.
People telling me what my experiences are, what my race is, what I deserve, what I don't deserve, all based on what I look like. Yeah. I don't like any of that stuff. I don't think anybody should go through that.
It's cool.
So when I'm growing up, and I'm in an area that's very mixed. We had a lot of Polish immigrants. We had a lot of Latinos. We had some Asians. And I was like, this is cool. We're all friends and we're all different. I was skateboarding and there was this documentary. It was a 411 video. I'm not sure. And they talk about how skateboarding represents the true future of, you know, this country because no one's racist. Everybody's skates are different race and all that matters is you're a skateboarder. And man, that really, that meant a lot to me. I was like, this is awesome, dude. We're going to grow up. And all of this BS is behind us. Mm-hmm. And then I had my experience at Occupy Wall Street and I said, man, those people, they're crazy. Then I watched that stuff started expanding into mainstream culture. I started having people, you know, ask me about why I had certain opinions on things. I was told I wasn't allowed to have certain opinions on things because of my race. When I tried explaining myself.
Who did that though?
So like when I worked for Fusion, for instance, they told me I wasn't allowed to be a host at a forum because I looked too white. So I actually lost job opportunities over this.
But it gave you strength. Look at you. You're doing great.
Well, I think I have something to complain about. You know? I think I can point out that there's a problem here.
I think a black kid walking through the street, you know, and being looked at as a criminal, murderer, rapist is a lot more to complain about than them going,
we don't disagree.
Oh, that definitely has to go over the world. Though,
I know. You know? So, and so my issue is we can address two different problems, can't we?
Yeah, we can talk about this. True.
So here's an issue I have, right? So one of the things I experienced was they were doing the black and brown forum at Fusion. They hired someone externally to come in to be one of the four hosts. And I went to the president and I asked him, I was like, you guys took all of our top talent, of which I am one of them, but like you excluded me from this and then hired a contractor on the outside. And he said to me, yeah, it's really racist. And I was like, I'm just curious. I mean, I understand black and brown forum is like my experience, second generation mixed race, valuable in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And they just said, look, man, you're too white.
Yeah. It happens.
So like my experience is totally voided just because of what I look like.
Yeah.
I've dealt with this stuff. My family dealt with this stuff.
That's happened. I know a film director in Hollywood and she's a black, bisexual woman. She was a lesbian the whole time I knew her. And she was working on a series of gay films, producing them, right? And she wanted to direct, but they said, you know, she ended up, now she's married, she has children. So she wanted to direct one, and they said, well, you know, you're married with kids, and, you know, it has to be a gay person, you know, I don't know the terminologies for whatever. So they didn't let her direct one of the episodes because she was too straight. So I've seen that happen before too with people I know. Yeah,
I just think,
and excuse my ignorance. I didn't mean to come at you like you know, boohoo guy. But you know, I'm an old school guy. You know, with a tough asshole. So you know, when you were talking to me just now, I seen a little sensitivity in your face and a little hurt and pain. And I wasn't trying to be that guy.
It's a good conversation, bro.
I thought you was kind of more like my era where we're dicks to people, you know.
We're offensive.
So I was trying to be, we come from the rank out jokes on the bus type of era. So, and you're like, boo, you know, but then honestly, when you was just looking me in my eyes and having a conversation with me, I saw like hurt. Like I didn't know I hurt the kid. Like I wasn't trying to hurt you like that.
But
know?
I don't want to live in that world. You know what I mean? I agree with you.
Yeah.
I like offensive jokes. I like South Park. I like George Carlin.
And so that's
one of the reasons I'm like, free speech. People should toughen up.
Yeah.
But one of the issues I have is that the culture of censorship and critical race practice and all this stuff is expanding.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be in that world. We don't want to be in a world where someone walks up to you and the first thing they say is, oh, what's your race? Okay, let's make a determination. No, we want to be in a world where they're like, who are you? Who are you as a person? That matters
more.
Yeah,
but on the flip side of that, it's not always that easy because that's not how it happens all the time. You know, and there was opportunities for white folks forever. So we go back to that. So sometimes you give a black man or a black woman an opportunity that they never was able to get before. You got that directing job. You got that acting. Because I see people crying over that all the time. Oh, so-and-so was in a movie because they're black. And oh, so-and-so got to direct because they're black. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, I especially don't care about that.
Oh, cool, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know, in certain instances, because, you know, somebody's just highly qualified, and then the cruel white kids get it, and oh, we're all the cool. We went to film school together, all the white kids, and they get the job. Now open some doors for some other people.
But it shouldn't be race, though. It should be class.
That's kind of what it is. Well, rich kids get it.
Well, in New York City, one of the board of education directors said that if there's resources in the school, it should be given to a rich black kid compared to a poor white kid.
Who said that?
One of the New York City counselors on the board of education. So one of the person who calls the shots in all of the New York City public schools argued, resources, we have to give it to black kids no matter how rich or poor they are. Even if they're super rich, and if there's a super poor white kid, we have to make sure that the resources go to the super rich black person. Do you agree with those kind of policies that are implemented in New York City do have real life effects?
I don't know how
where again.
I don't know how often that is. I don't know how
that's
real
the
that
New
is.
York City school board. We can look up New York City school board.
I don't know if that's sensationalized.
But say it is. But say it is. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
Well, give the shot to a rich black man and not a
poor white guy in New York City public school using the resources that taxpayers funded.
Yeah, you know, I would rather have a kid that went through a struggle, who went through a struggle, you know. So,
so the poor white kid would get services over the rich black kid.
It all depends. It all depends the whole situation. I don't know. I can't put that into perspective because I don't know what the law is. I don't know what you're talking about. That I'm ignorant.
Well, let me give you a hard example in Harvard, for example.
Because if that's one case.
It's not one case. It's New York City public.
But is it really happening? Is it all these rich black guys getting jobs?
Well, no. But let's
white kids. I don't know how.
Let's talk about institutional racism.
Yeah.
Harvard, for instance, requires. I could be wrong on the specific numbers. Look it up. Asians have to score a 1300 if they want to qualify, whereas white people have to score 1000. Latinos and black people have to score lower on the SATs to qualify. So for somebody who's Asian, you have to actually be in a higher percentile and work harder if you want to qualify to get in the university.
But is it work harder? Because
you got to score higher on a test.
Yeah, but I don't know if that means work harder. Because
you think Asian people are just naturally smarter?
Well, no. Well, here's the thing: not smarter. Right. But when if a class of people have been suppressed and kept down for hundreds of years, and they've have a lower education system, lower class education system, less money being pumped into them, worse teachers. And, you know, so they're being taught, they're not being taught on the same level. So,
race is that line?
Yeah, poverty.
Asian people were in internment camps during World War II.
No, but I'm talking, are you talking about, is there poverty in the Asian community in America? No.
There is.
Where? Where's are the high you, level? Asian is one of the highest poverty
sure,
in America?
Sure, but there's poor Asians.
No, there's poor Asians, but compared to blacks, no.
So, right, so that's my, what we're my talking about. Is, so we're why, talking about. Why are you telling poor Asian people they have to? They
no,
can't.
Because we're talking about on a mass scale of poverty. If they're doing it by poverty.
I agree. Why don't we just do by poverty then?
Well, because black people have been held back for decades and decades and
so
decades.
So if naturally
centuries.
They are more so, likely so, to be so, poor, more, they'll be benefited by poverty.
So what I'm saying
by poverty
policy. So what I'm saying is you're saying, oh, so they just got to work harder because that's the other thing. Oh, just work harder, kids. Yeah, but
that's not what I was saying.
If you go to a beautiful school. No, but okay, but people say that, okay? So you didn't say it, but people do say it. Just work. No, you did say it, though.
What
you
I was said, saying so work was harder, if you have to score higher on the SATs,
you have to work harder
to score better.
But that's not true because somebody might have to work harder to get the 800 or the 700 or the 900 than the person in a better school, better situation, better lifestyle.
Especially with poverty, if you don't have food, your brain can't develop.
I get it, yes. Let me ask you a very specific question. Do you? There's an Asian child. He's an Asian guy. He's about turning 18. His family is in deep poverty. They make $20,000 a year. His dad works 80 hours a week.
I don't think it's right for him. Yeah. I don't think he should have to get. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
So my position is the manifestation of critical race theory ideology is things like this, and I think it would be better if
but that's not what they're teaching.
Well, it's praxis, right? No. So they're saying things like if white people are the oppressors, they're now saying that Asians are white adjacent and no longer qualify as being an oppressed class.
Who's saying it?
This is part of
It's who's they though? Who's they? You know, like honestly. Like
general,
if you go to the critical race theory studies and publications and books and articles and speakers, who's saying that though?
So I can't paraphrase a particular author, but it's like a common occurrence. You'll see at many of these lectures.
I don't know about that.
So, but listen, would you agree that it would be better if the threshold for access and opportunity was based on poverty and not race?
No, not fully. See, so I know that's a contradiction because of the Asian kid that's poor and this and that, this, that. I think there should be exceptions. I think there should be exceptions. Like certain people who are in the struggle. Okay, boom, boom, boom. But a group of,
But then you end up with Will Smith's kids, you know, getting a leg up.
You're naming the richest kids in the country.
It's an outlier example, but if we do policy based on race, then you're basically saying that there will come a circumstance where rich people get free stuff.
Systemic racism is real, which you guys aren't
denying
that. Okay, yeah. So if there was a system that was...
We should explain that, too. I want to explain that real quick for a lot of
people. Okay, cool. You know, the children being imprisoned, the parents being imprisoned at a higher level... kids going with no fathers because of the prison systems that were racist and systematic
So real quick, just for people who are listening who may not be familiar with systemic racism, a lot of people you'll hear in like the cultural debate that it's the idea that people are just in these systems are inherently racist, like someone there has decided to be racist against someone, but that's not the case. What it means is we used to have blockbusting. You know what blockbusting is?
Yeah, and you're talking about the red
redlining and blockbusting.
Of course.
So blockbusting is when racist individuals would buy a house in a white neighborhood, mm-hmm. move in a black family, and then tell all the white people their property value would drop mm-hmm. because of it, cause them to panic sell at a lower rate, buy everything up, then kick out the black family and sell it all back at a profit.
Yep.
Insane racist practice.
Yep.
Redlining was where they would literally draw out areas where they would be like, okay, that's where all of the people of this race is going to have to go, namely black people. Those policies were made illegal, but the remnants of that still exist in that these communities were built on racist policies, that blockbusting had serious ramifications for the generational wealth of black families and other minority families. And you end up today with the real estate market being inherently, or I should say subsequently racist in that we just had a story where a black family got their home appraised. Then they had a white person come in claiming it was theirs and it was appraised at a higher value. So people might not want to admit this, but you go to real estate agents and they'll tell you this stuff. The housing market is racist.
And look at the prison system. Yeah.
Well, I just want to ask
the entire prison system.
What do you respond to when someone says you're white-splaining and that you think that, you know, black people need a leg up? That kind of idea is racist in itself because you think that they can't compete in normal markets. They can't compete in normal life, normal society, and that you need them. Because some people are saying you're making that argument that you're white-splaining and you're treating them like you're better than them and they need help. That's not true.
Well, those people are ignorant.
They need more opportunities and they need extra help. So, that's what you're saying.
Well, somebody yes or no? who, when the government and the state has imprisoned their fathers and their parents. So you're saying
you're better than them because
I'm
of your skin
color.
But you just said that's white privilege. That's white supremacy bullshit.
Yeah. That's a white supremacy tactic.
But don't you see the arguments that you're making are rooted in those principles that you think that they need help. Right?
They've been giving.
And then other black people are saying, why are you saying this to me?
Who are these black people?
Candace Owens.
exactly. The white face.
No, but there's some people who don't want to be talked down to. There's some people who don't want to be like, hey, why do you think
Candace
I need help?
Owens
why
because
do
she talks terrible about black
people. But there is a portion.
And then the white people get to go, oh, see, Candace said it. I didn't say it. She said it. So.
I don't know. I didn't listen to what she said.
Oh, I did. I heard the whole Floyd, when she's calling him a criminal, a terrible human being. And all this stuff, so what she does is when she says terrible things about black people, all the white people come on.
I'm not going to quote Candace's whole catalog, but I've seen enough about Candace's clip. Remember, you said something like you said, "Do you think all?" And then Luke was like, "All," and then you were like, "No." I want to make sure it's clear that
they don't do semantics, though.
If you're saying Candace Owens says bad things about black people in general, it's very different from her saying about tons of specific stuff. People.
Yeah, specific black people. And when she says things bad about these black people, LeBron, I don't even know if she said anything about LeBron, but I'm probably she did. Exactly, because he's a black man.
Not because he's a black man.
Of course. Well, how did I know that she said something about him then?
About LeBron?
Yeah.
Because LeBron's outspoken politically.
Yeah. And he's a black man.
Candace Owens says bad things about white people too.
Colin Kaepernick, I'm sure she said terrible things
about.
Probably,
yeah.
Yeah, she hates.
But a lot of black people, white people, Latinos have said the same thing.
Who are these people?
You want me to just name conservatives who criticize
Yeah. So what they do is they wait for this black woman to say horrible things about black people, and then the white people all post, oh, look, she's white.
Why are you criticizing this black woman, though?
I'm going to tell you. And then the white, they say, look, I'm not racist because this black woman said it and I didn't say it. So she's the face of white racist people in a lot of times.
Confirmation bias.
So you only say it. You only say bad things about white people. So I feel the same way about you.
I say bad things. There's a lot of black rappers I talk terrible about.
But
Obama. I hated Obama's guts.
He was half white, so that's probably why you hated him. Anyway, what do you think about people calling you a white savior? What do you think about people calling you a white savior right now, saying that
is nerds on the computer?
No, but you're making those kind of arguments. You're making those kind of arguments.
Some nerd on the computer. I don't care.
No. But the arguments have merit, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. So you think I'm being the white savior? Yeah. Okay.
But you're making some talking points.
I thought you made an interesting point about the history of the black community. Need, and you said maybe they need a leg up, or that you were insinuating they need a leg up, because I think over generations,
if
they're not getting enough nutrition because of poverty, the brain's not developing fast enough, you may see an evolution towards.
So you think you're better than them because of your
white? Not better. Not better.
That
argument
is ignorant.
Maybe like a child.
Nobody said it.
I gotta tell you, I just something doesn't sit right with me with like this room full of. We'll just say everyone here is particularly white. Talking about what the black
I just don't think it's a race thing. It's a poverty thing for me.
Oh, because we should have someone who's actually a member of that community.
So invite one up.
We do, yeah. A lot of people.
But people are allowed to speak on topics, period.
I think that the race is like a mask.
I'm just pointing out,
we're allowed to have a conversation about
Immortal Technique, I think, would be interesting to join in on this conversation as well.
Oh, yeah, he comes from a different perspective. He's a lot.
But we need to debate these ideas. We need to talk about these ideas, and we need to talk about them.
Well, hold on. Let me tell you something. Did you know Luke's a person of color?
I don't know.
Like,
a Polish kid.
There's a couple of organizations. One we cite often is the Coalition for Communities of Color that says Slavic people are people of color.
Oh, Slavics and Polish. I heard something like that.
Well, if you want to talk about people who are oppressed, who are punished throughout history, you look at the Polish people.
I know, but
we were subjugated. We were enslaved. We had our country taken over. We had our country obliterated. Do you see me saying, hey, it's all the evil Russians and Germans out there for all my problems? No, I don't blame anybody else for my problems.
You live in America now. You're a white guy in America.
I immigrated, to a heavily black area in Brooklyn, New York, and I had my own experiences where I faced whatever, and it doesn't matter what I faced because I don't even care about that. What matters at the end of the day is you saying, hey, historically, bad things happened to you, so we need to blame all white people and give you more opportunities.
When did I say that?
Because you just said, one of the arguments you were saying, you're like, let these white guys step aside and we should give it to more people of color, not based on their merit. Exactly, but that's what you're saying.
I didn't say not based on merit. You're talking about the filmmaker?
Yeah, the film stuff.
No. If they're equally, equal opportunity, they're both equally good, and you say, hey, this guy's a black director, he's sharp, he's doing his thing. Yeah.
Over a white guy, but they have the same credentials.
Yeah.
So why can't I step in there and be like, my culture, my history went through more oppression.
No, you didn't go through more than blacks in America.
Nazis?
Yeah, not in
Soviet
America.
Soviet,
I'm talking about
Soviet
in America. We're talking about in America.
Right, the Byzantine?
If you want to get reparations in Germany or Poland, then
I don't even want all that.
But I'm talking about in America. I'm not talking about. Yeah, but I'm not talking about the Polish had less of a struggle.
Sure. But let me ask you.
In America. And in Hollywood. Wait,
so if you got
Hollywood?
Two guys with the exact same credentials, exact same, college, they went to the same school, they're two guys, let's
and
say
they're equally good at the craft.
They're equally good at everything.
Yeah.
Both of them are middle class families, educated, same GPAs, identical in every
and
way.
99% of the studio is white. And 85% of the directors are white, and you say, let me take the black director. Yes, I agree, that's cool.
So why would you say that the history of Luke's people versus the history of
that was I'm not the most articulate. I just sometimes like that. So yeah, I wasn't saying, what I meant by that was your history in America and Hollywood and this world. Is, you know, so, you come to America, you're not, you're a white guy in America. It's different than a black man coming up under certain situations.
So there's a quote, and it's that the only solution to past discrimination is present discrimination. Mm-hmm. And the only solution to present discrimination is future discrimination. Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know where the context where you're going to put it into. What are you going to turn it into? Like, now, well, don't discriminate against white people or something?
No,
is that
just,
what it's going to turn into?
You said that, you know, based on two people identical, you should choose the black person over the white person.
No, I said it.
But don't you see that it's patronizing?
Come on.
Okay. No, it's not discrimination because 85% of the rest of the directors were white. Let's give an opportunity to someone that usually never got that opportunity. I don't think that's a bad thing.
So
that's patronizing.
So it's really, come on. I think there's a really simple way to view, like, the separation here is that you're more collectivist than we are. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
it's funny the way you phrase that because you said we as you.
I know, it is funny. So like in this room, my view is the individual is the smallest minority. There's two individuals and it's hard to determine who is deserving of this, but I don't think race should be a factor. But you said, because there's other people who are white, we shouldn't, this one individual should not get the opportunity. You see what I mean?
Oh yeah, I do. So it's
a collectivist versus individual.
You said if
position.
They're equally schooled, equally qualified, equal to this, and you have 85% directors white, and you go, these guys, their resumes. So yeah, give it to let's see what a black man has to say or a black woman has to say.
There's definitely a value to mixing cultures, but not at the detriment of quality.
I agree with that. I agree with that. If somebody's super overqualified and is a ridiculously great filmmaker, and then you got some kid out of film school who's not really that good, but you want to give him an opportunity. I don't agree with
that.
What if there's a Native American?
Where do you rate people on the scale?
Sure. Is that
85%
Native
American
white,
and
white
a black
directors?
Person.
Do you see how crazy these debates get?
We're way late for super chats.
And that is a good thing.
But I will also say, you've already called it out. The super chats are very not friendly to you.
Oh, I cursed like five times.
That's fine.
A beautiful show.
But we'll rate some of the super chats. We've actually gotten so many that started erasing.
You guys
super chats.
Rock.
This is what happens. But I appreciate everybody super chatting. I'm not gonna be able to get to every single person, but I will rate some of these, and I just want to let you know. Yeah. They're critical.
Oh yeah, I don't care. What I thought from your fan base, man.
Don't take it personally. That's something I've learned. Have you learned don't take it personally over the years?
Nah, I say the worst ones. I love them.
You've been in the music industry. Some comments. I'm going to say at the end.
Let's read some here. We got Daniel Maxwell. Don't forget to smash the like button.
Crush
and
it.
If you just get ready for the member segment, which we will do. It'll be a lot of fun.
Let me get my gummy bears out.
Get your gummy bears. Daniel Maxwell. RA needs to listen to the rhetoric related to CRT, then go read the rhetoric of the KKK and the Nazis.
He would
find the words are
He's
different,
wrong.
But the meaning of the rhetoric
He's
is
an
the
idiot.
Same.
That guy's an idiot. It's Nazi rhetoric. He's a fear-mongering idiot. You scared the shit out of him. Don't be so scared. Don't be afraid of black people.
But this,
it's Nazi.
Well, come on. That's unfair.
No, it's totally fair.
But it's unfair to say he's scared of black people because he criticized you.
If you not about me.
He criticized you.
No, he criticized critical race theory. I don't care about him criticizing me. And he didn't criticize
me. He's criticizing
me
an idea.
He criticized critical race theory and said it's
not black
it's
people.
Equal. Of he said it was equal to the Ku Klux Klan. And come on. You know, the guy's an idiot.
He didn't say it was equal. He said some of the words are
yeah,
different.
Yeah, he's an idiot. The guy's an idiot.
Some of the he said he will find the words are different, but the meaning
he's
of the rhetoric
of black
is the
folks.
See, that's the problem.
It's true.
But it's true.
You have no evidence to show that.
Like, of course, if you're going to compare
he's
critical
scared
race
of Candace
theory,
Owen?
I'm not scared. If I debate him
for 4 seconds, is he think he's scared of Candace Owens or Larry Elder or Thomas Sowell?
Oh, I got you. Because conservative that would
Thomas
agree
Sowell.
With him. So Candace would be on here like.
If but he's not scared
see,
of her.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, because he likes that.
But that's
because
ideas, not race.
Shoot down. It is. Because you can have bad ideas and be a certain color. It doesn't matter. Candace could say, let's shoot down critical race theory. Let's get it out of schools. Ron DeSantis, yeah. And she could be black. What does that have to do with anything? So you know, a bunch of white people that are scared of black people agree with Candace. What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do
they're
with
They're not
anything?
Scared of black people.
Yes, they are.
They vote, some they're of these people voted for Barack Obama.
What?
Some a lot 9 million of these people voted for Barack Obama.
Oh.
But you're going
to
say
there we go to that. Oh, they voted for Barack Obama. But then when they see the black guy in the street, they're locking their car doors. Oh,
the,
Jesus
the
Christ.
9 million people. I'm not talking about the other 60 million that only voted Republican.
Yeah.
I'm saying there's the people mostly who
you
follow
just pulled
us.
Out the Obama card. Like, it's not a racist society because
we got more
for
super
Obama.
Chats that make a lot of arguments.
Right. You didn't just pull that card out, man.
Because the people we're talking about. So most Trump supporters don't like me.
Most what?
Most of Trump supporters, like, I'm persona non grata. A lot of them like, you know, they like the show, they call me names or whatever. Most of the people who watch the show are like moderate. You know, they're not.
I don't believe that.
But I think it's because
they claim they're moderate and they're right wingers. A lot of them.
Well, they lean right for sure. A lot of them.
More than lean right. Yeah.
No, that's not true, bro.
I don't agree.
So we actually did a poll. It's libertarian.
Yeah. Well, that's a new thing that they do. You know, the Rubens and stuff. They go, we're libertarian,
which is down. They're straight, so you can still have left and right. But yeah, so you have up and down.
I'm center
down.
Left libertarian. Luke center right libertarian.
Yeah.
So like I'm for universal health care. Universal basic health care of some sort. I just don't trust the current authoritarian system we have in place to do it right. I think progressive taxes make sense in our current system, but I agree with Luke. Most of the taxes don't make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I lean left on a lot of issues, mm-hmm. especially with health care and stuff. Mm-hmm. Luke leans more right on a lot of these issues, but the core issue that drives everybody is freedom. Yeah. Are you advancing the cause of individual rights and liberties? Yeah. That's why I brought the collective thing earlier. I think where we're really at odds is that you think, like your view is, if you have a large group of white people in this, you know, workspace, then the person, the two individuals who are, you know, faced with, you know, one opportunity.
Give a black man an opportunity, a black woman an opportunity. Yeah.
Give a Latino
an opportunity. Right, right. I don't have nothing wrong with that.
As individualists, I would not consider the race of other people in the hiring decision of one person.
Well, that's why it would be a whole white staff going, you know,
I don't think so. I think I do lean left on a lot of these social issues. So I would agree with you. One of the issues is that disproportionately minorities have, particularly the black community, and then I think the Latino community have been negatively impacted by racism. But it seems like the solution to this problem is class-based, not race-based. But let me I don't want to cut you off like that, but I do want to read some more super chats because I don't want to go too late.
Give me an insult. That was an insult. That was a guy insulting critical race theory.
Let me do one. Just throw a wrench into everything. The plague doctor says, Mr. Crossland, I sent you an ancient Mayan artifact to go with your coins.
Ooh.
Post office about to return it to me since no one has picked it up. Get it soon if you want it. Who's not getting the mail?
Red alert. I've been looking at those coins every day. They sit right in front of me on my computer desk.
D says, why does this guy assume other people's lives but won't let other people assume his?
I don't even understand. Well, they can assume my life. Go ahead. My whole life has been assumed. You know, assume me. Ask her what she assumes.
No, that was it, I guess.
That give me an insult, man.
All right. Canadian Egg says, this has been fascinating to listen to. R.A. epitomizes racism. A white savior here to save and judge the lowly minorities because he is so mighty with his white intellect.
That wasn't even bad. That was that's what, you know what? Remember when I was saying bad things to you before and you looked hurt at me? And I felt bad. Like, I was like, damn, I didn't mean to hurt you. Cause you seem like.
Actually, a lot of people were like, that was cool of you, man.
Yeah, but cause you seem like a sweetheart and you treated me like a sweetheart the second we got in here. Nothing but respect. And then I'm like, you're a racist cracker. So, you know, but what I was saying, like, those are the worst insults you guys got. See, so I'm from a different era.
Well, I'm not going to read the one.
So I'm sorry, you know.
They like you.
All right, here you go. Eric Ellman says, quote, were you hurt? Then quote, there is no discrimination. What a joke.
Come on, we need.
That's actually an interesting point, though.
Okay,
like,
talk about, because I didn't think it was interesting. Tell me.
For you to say to me you don't believe my experiences, and then tell me that I don't experience racism is like paradoxical because it proves it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Now we're gonna go back in. I was gonna go, oh, you hurt still. You know?
here's what I get, right? So I was,
and also you,
Lydia.
Lydia, she's awesome.
The pilot.
She was awesome. She's a great, you know, everybody treated me so sweet up here. And then I come up here
belligerent
and crazy witches and talking like a maniac. And, but
we got nothing but love.
Those are my feelings here, you know. So, but yeah, you know, I was a bit of an asshole to you.
I'm not worried about it.
All right, cool.
I think it was good.
Like I said, it was a different era where I come from. We talk ish to each other. You know?
So I had a conversation with David Pakman a few years ago. And, you know, he tried playing this game where he was like, you criticize identity politics, but you use identity politics.
You do, though.
But I don't criticize.
I don't know who he is, but he's right.
Identity politics. I criticize the authoritarian application of and praxis, critical race praxis specifically, and critical gender praxis. I actually, I've already stated, like, we agree on institutional racism and all that stuff. And I think civil rights movement, identity politics, I think that's great. But what we're seeing a lot of now is the authoritarian application of. Or even outside of that, the collectivist application of, like, this race should be in this space versus this race in this space, I think is wrong. Mm-hmm. So I can use identity politics in the sense where it's like, I've experienced this, my family has experienced this, I, if you're going to come to me as a white person and tell me, here's how we should handle this racism, here's what's going on, and then I say, well, actually, I've experienced it, and then I get told by that white person, your experience doesn't count.
Yeah, I disagree with this again, man. Well, it's going to be a repeat of the same conversation.
Sure, my point is,
yeah, because you're gonna,
you have no principled position
because if you're a white person, but you are white.
If you're a white person explaining what we should be doing about racism, yeah. And then when someone's like, I experienced racism, you go, no, you didn't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, you know.
But you're wrong.
Yeah, I know. That's what you're going to think. But, you know,
it's what I know. You know what I mean? Like
the racism that you explained was ridiculously nothing. It was like someone thought I was a
white supremacist smashing up my windows.
You said they didn't know what you were, and it had nothing to do with your race.
No, I didn't.
You did. You said they didn't know I was
a mixed race family.
So they saw an Asian family in there.
They didn't know we were Asian. They just saw a mixed race family, little brown kids.
And then what year was this?
1993.
So is it on the internet? Did somebody
94?
Is there
no internet back then?
Okay, is there a newspaper article that this happened? I don't believe it.
See, that's the problem.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
So you can't come to me and tell me how I'm supposed to be dealing with racism.
See, it's
but you don't accept that it could even be real.
Yeah. Well, you
don't
said
believe
when
it.
I said
you
so
don't
they
even
saw an Asian family. They saw an Asian family.
Like I try explaining to you, but you don't care.
So they thought you was an Asian guy.
They didn't know our race.
We need a debate after the show. That's right, no hold barred. No hold bar debate. Let's go over the supercast.
White supremacist.
We're going very long. We're going very. We're going to debate this.
Came to you. Oh, we're going to debate.
We're going to debate this afterwards. So we're going to have. You could curse. You could say whatever you want in the after show.
They ripped off the address from our house. They put pamphlets about race mixing being bad on our porch. They smashed our windows up on more than one occasion.
They broke the windows?
Yeah, the windows on our vehicle got a brick thrown through it. And then they ripped off the edges from our house. My mom told me, don't worry. Once they see that we act like other white people, they'll leave us alone.
Jeez. Yeah.
So
yeah.
When people are saying they believe, like when people put pamphlets out that claim race mixing
show
is bad.
Show me the article. Show me something.
But why would there be an article?
Show me something. Yeah, back then, 93, so a hate crime like that.
We didn't.
Oh, you didn't report it?
We didn't report it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, blame the victims.
Yeah.
So see, here's the issue.
Dude, I think we live in a way better time now.
How am I supposed to solve the problems of racism when people like you won't even believe it happened?
We're going to debate this in a no-hold-barred debate afterwards.
Isn't it kind of crazy for me to be like, I was attacked by white supremacists, and you're like, no, you weren't.
No, I didn't say you weren't. I just said I'd like a little back. You know, back there. Wow. What's the guy they call Talcum X too? Talcum X?
Yeah. Ibram X. Kennedy.
No. Sean King.
Oh, Sean King.
Yeah, like he's the same thing. When he claims stuff, I want a little bit. Hey, show me that really happened to you. Show me that really happened. It's just
I was looking up what school said that Asian people were white adjacent. I still haven't been able to figure
out. Yeah, like what, you know, and you said that they saw, you know, they just showed up. So did they just show up at your house or were they doing the whole block or they really saw that you were?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you expected us to do in that circumstance. You know what I mean? Like, we come out one day, we see broken glass, we sweep it up, and we try to move on with our lives. We try not to cause a problem that gets us targeted more.
Yeah.
We come out and start complaining about it, bringing the cops around, and all of a sudden, we're targets again. All of a sudden, they're like, don't screw with us. So we just say, keep your head down and try and make it go away. And that was me as a little kid. I'm a very different person these days.
Yeah.
Today, I'd go much more nuclear than that.
Yeah.
I'd figure out who these people were. I'd hire people. We had a problem recently. I called up some security guys. I was like, I want ghillie suits laying out in the fields 3 a.m. to find out who's screwing with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, it's hard, man. But there's a certain issue where it's like you wake up, you see the broken windows, you clean it up, and you try to move on with your life.
Yeah.
But this is 93, dude. I think this might have not even been 93. I think it might have been 91 or something.
You heard that story when you first met him? Can you verify that story when you first met him? Did he tell you that story?
Why did this come up later?
When we first met, we had a mutual interest in talking about
did he tell you
government.
About white supremacists coming to your house? You never heard that story, I'm sure.
I did.
When you first met him.
I've told this story.
Not when I first met
him.
I mean,
on the show, like,
that's
years
not
later,
his,
right?
That's not his, like, identity, right? So we had a conversation.
Like,
we know each other for 10 years, and he did
Hollywood,
share stories
see,
like that.
I know Hollywood. I know the whole storytelling thing and, you know, sensationalism. That sounds like some, Morton Downey Jr., Jussie Smollett stuff right there, you know?
I've never known
Tim Delay. I'll put it this way. I was very little.
Yeah.
And when the damage
could
happened.
Could you get your mom on the phone right now?
Probably, yeah.
Put on the speaker.
She's
say,
awesome.
Say, hey, mom, what happened?
But I can tell
it
you this.
Like Jussie,
this is what
Jussie
I'm told by my
Smollett
parents.
To me,
this is what I'm told
like
by my mom as a little kid as to why the vandalism happened. So, okay, I'll tell you this. I trust my mom. I think I was like maybe 4 or 5 years old.
So did she said it was white supremacy?
She said they put anti-race mixing stuff on our porch and then vandalized the property.
What's anti-race mixing?
What do you like mean? They were they like were
pamphlets
propaganda saying like it was wrong that we were mixed race and stuff like that and that they shouldn't be there and thing you know whatever that
if that happened to you
we had a brown we had a tan van and they threw a brick through the back of the truck. Yeah. That's what this is.
I was
that
happened
kid.
To you. I'm sorry it happened to you.
But I'll stress.
Smollett,
I was a very
little
kid.
I really
right?
feel like Jesse Smollett here, man. You could be mad at me, but that don't that sound a little.
Nobody
Hollywood.
Came to my house and screamed.
Nothing wrong for asking for proof. That's for sure.
Yeah. It sounded a little bit Hollywood that story, like to get to so to, it kind of take away from the black struggle by you having this.
But
white
what have I taken away from
my,
the black struggle,
that
bro?
That Jesse Smollett
telling
story.
Telling my story takes away
it,
from
though.
Other people.
I don't believe it. I kind of think it's a Hollywood story.
And look, this, so you understand? Let's read more super chats so we can get into the member segment. I don't want to bypass too much of the super chat. Comic Nut says this. Tim, this is why I know you're a good person. Because you have the patience of a saint. Because Mr. Rugged Man here, aka Suburbs Kid, is clearly out of his depth.
Suburbs Kid, yeah.
I guarantee he's been in a fight.
Yeah. He guarantees what?
He says, I guarantee he's been in a fight.
Been in a fight? What does that mean?
I don't know.
That's the insults?
No, that might be a compliment.
Your crew got like the worst insults of all time.
They're pretty nice.
Yeah. All right, here's one.
They're really smart.
Rebecca Carney says, I'm half Korean and I've experienced more discrimination in Korea than America. Then I learned colleges discriminate me because I'm Asian.
Okay, there you go. Shout out. What's her name?
Rebecca Carney.
Rebecca Carney. Much love. I apologize for some of my belligerence and ignorance. Sometimes I'm obnoxious. I'm an a-hole. I can't say that on a thing. But much love, Rebecca. Hope you get past that. You know.
All right. Noor Alahi says, "Hey, I was born in Pakistan as an American citizen to a Pakistani American dad and a white mother. Do I get to be a minority? I need this white guy to let me know."
That was a good one. What's his name?
That's fair.
Noor Alahi.
Noor Alahi.
Alahi.
Yo, that was the first good jab of the night. Give him his props.
All right. Geary Vision says, this rapper needs to understand that one, he's white, and two, he's from Long Island.
Yeah, Long Island, the greatest rappers of all time. Rakim, Public Enemy, De La Soul, EPMD, The Bomb Squad, Busta Rhymes, Prodigy Mobb Deep, R.A. the Rugged Man, Keith Murray, like Craig Mack, Prince Paul. So yeah, I am from Long Island and very proud of that. And yes, I know I'm white. You genius. Imagine, oh, I am? Oh, you told me something.
Some Richard Pryor, what was that? Hear No Evil, See No Evil? Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder? Yeah.
Like, what a jerk. I'm the jerk. White? Did you see the jerk? No, that's a jerk. Remember Steve Martin? Like, ah!
All right. Oh. Here's one that's a little dry, but probably fairly mean.
Yeah.
ZoMG, this is awesome, says, second worst guest ever for sure.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
I actually completely disagree. I think you're one of our best guests.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, people need to understand this too. Like, disagreeing is actually one of the best things we could possibly have on this show.
Heck yeah.
Because like you mentioned, there's a lot of stuff we'll probably cover from a certain point of view. And for one, if people don't agree with you, at least they know what you think, right?
Well, I could find a bunch of people to disagree with you if you want me to
it's
bring
it's hard
them.
To get them too. No, I'll
they
be completely honest.
We you know what's funny?
I actually just texted another like really high profile lefty dude and they're just like, we won't go on your show, bro.
You know what's funny though? A lot of your stances, we talked about all this stuff that like I kind of, you know, I'm more of a pro-black guy, you know? But, you know, when you did the, what was it, the Facebook? Whenever you talk about censorship online and stuff, I'm right. like, oh, that guy knows his stuff. And there's a lot of stuff I do agree with you on, but there's a lot of stuff I disagree with. So, you know, so we talked about all of that stuff. So
that's great, yeah.
I'll tell you this too. I would not be surprised, and I would actually say I expect.
Oh, Assange! I'm sure you're pro Assange, right?
100%
pro Assange. There we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anti-death penalty. There's a few.
100% anti-death.
Yeah. I'm kind of mixed, middle of the road on death penalty. We were talking about that yesterday a little bit. Yeah.
Let's read a little bit more of these. We'll do a member segment where we just scream the whole time. Yeah. All right. Let's see what we got here. Loki Tomb says there's a difference between teaching critical race theory and teaching about critical race theory. Does this gentleman agree?
Yeah.
Because we agree teaching about it is a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, the praxis of it.
Yeah, but the thing like, is when you were celebrating the banning of it, that's where my issue was.
But they're banning the praxis.
Yeah, okay. Well,
or at least that's what we're celebrating.
I'd like to see it as a philosophy class, especially in colleges, to learn about communism, learn about critical race,
I'll give you an example of praxis, right?
I think learning about evil white history isn't a bad thing.
I wish I'd learned more about it in middle school. Like,
I think we need to make sure we're not only hyper-focusing on evil stuff. We can talk about good white history. We can talk about good and bad Asian history. We can talk about good and bad
Native American history. That's a their subjugation and enslavement. Honestly, did you know that Native Americans also held slaves in the United States?
Yeah, we know. And Irish people slaves, too. Anything to take away from the black experience. I got you.
All right, here we go.
That's a favorite thing. But
we'll do a little bit more. Okay. Here's one that's really simple because we're big fans of Michael. Bolico Burrito says, I wish Michael Malice was in this room.
Oh, my gosh. Cool. Yeah, that'd be so fun.
He's great. Yeah, he's an anarchist. I think we'd have a fun conversation.
No, I think my boy Eamon told me about him. I heard that he's really good, right?
Great. Yeah.
He believes kind of what I believe about anarchy. You know,
like probably. Yeah. But he probably disagrees with you on the CRT stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know who he is, but my man said, because I'm always speaking some anarchy stuff, and my boy was like, I think he brought up Malice.
Oh, yeah.
He said, you need to talk. Yeah. You need to listen to this guy. He knows his stuff.
Agreed.
Let's see. Viking Vet says, this fool literally said he's privileged because he's white. That's a white supremacist position. He's a white supremacist by his own words.
Well, I asked you if you had privilege.
That's really ridiculously stupid. I didn't say my body works better, my brain is smarter, none of that.
Well, that's not white.
I said in the society, I was given certain privileged that certain black folks wasn't. That's what I was saying. There's nothing to do with white supremacy. This guy's an idiot, you know, so.
So there's two different definitions of what. Well, I'm going to save it because we're way over.
We know what white supremacy really is.
Supreme means that you're better than all others. Well, no, whereas having a privilege just means
critical race theory. White supremacy is a reference to a dominant culture, not a belief in genetic superiority.
Yeah. Okay.
Whereas, like,
it's so confusing.
The other version, the colloquial version, is like genetic superiority. Yeah. So there's like All right, we'll read a little bit more. Some of these are just not substantive and they're kind of derogatory.
Give me a derogatory one.
Yeah, but I want to have a conversation.
Yeah, let's have
Justin Casillas says, Tim is giving you charity by having you on. Nobody has heard of you.
Yeah,
have
right.
some class.
I think he's talking to me.
Nobody heard of me. I've been in the game for three decades, and every rapper that you ever that you suck the ink of, is a fan of me. I'm highly recognized by every great MC you could name and influenced most of, ton of great
and
MCs.
respect is due. You got good music, bro. Yeah. And dude, people should look him up. I mean, this is no joke.
What was the one we just listened to before the show?
That's the thing. When somebody's ignorant, they love to do, no one ever heard it. Cause you're ignorant. That doesn't mean,
say the same to you.
The guy sitting at the table right here, his name is, he's never heard of Rakim. Does that mean that nobody knows Rakim? No, that's not what it means.
I just put this last night. Do not let your perception be your prison cell.
All right, Morgan Babcock says, as someone who is white, my mother worked 2 to 3 jobs to bring me up.
To say that white people have it
better off is pathetic in every sense of what he's saying.
That's more to discredit the black experience. I can do that, too. I could say, yes, my dad was in mental hospitals. My dad was poor. My dad was insane. He was crazy. He had weapons. I could say, my family's on heroin. Oh, my brother died. My sister died. My nephew died. My brother was born, couldn't walk or talk. My sister was born. She had no eye. She was blind. I could tell you about my whole struggle of life, but that doesn't take away from the black experience as a whole collective, so that's an ignorant statement. Yeah, your mom worked 2 jobs.
Hold on,
mother worked at the diner. My dad was out of mental hospital.
Let me just ask you to do a favor, though.
Yeah.
Approach those comments with compassion.
No.
Why not?
No, because I don't care.
How are you going to convince
I'll tell
people?
You why. I'll tell you why. Because her thing is like, my mom had 2 jobs and I'm white. That's to take away from the black experience. That's why she's saying that.
Well, how about you say this? I'm really sorry I had to go through those things.
That's not me. That's not my personality.
But don't you think that like being mean to someone like that just hurts your cause?
Nah. I'm not a podcaster. I'm R.A. the Rugged Man. If you wanted me on the show, I'm here not to help this girl's cause because her mom had 2 jobs.
Not her cause.
If you're fighting for your cause, isn't empathy the way to go about it? But if you believe in it and if you want to promote it and if you really truly want the word to go out there.
I don't have to sugarcoat and be politically the right way to somebody. I just talk. I'm here to talk. As you already know, as me being your guest, I'm belligerent often, over the top, I'm obnoxious. Sometimes I just, like with the camera, go, put him in jail. Sometimes I just talk to talk. And then I'll correct myself, But
let me read this important one.
This is my personality, so I'm not here to
I want to read this one's important. John says, Tim, I'm okay with disagreement, but despise when they refuse to acknowledge when they're wrong. And I want to address two things. You've actually said you were wrong about two things already.
Yeah.
And I said I respect that tremendously, you know? So
I might have been wrong about more than that. I'd like, when I watch the podcast, I'd be like, oh, you know what? You know, but, you know, we're talking, you know.
But you said two things.
I'm not a politician. I'm not a newscaster. I'm already a rugged man. I'm a maniac. So I'm not here to, you know.
No, but we should refute this. You said that you were wrong to say the guy should be in prison for filming, and you said you felt bad, you hurt my feelings. That's you acknowledging that, you know, you felt you did something wrong, and that's, you deserve respect for that, not for someone to act like you didn't acknowledge.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I don't know. Yeah.
Like, I think you're a good dude. I think we disagree, and I think you've done a good job of, you know, expressing yourself.
Just stop trying to scare the world away from black folks, you know.
Well, I don't think we want to do that.
I don't think we do that. Well,
yeah. I like looking at the eyes. You look at their brain. You see their brain when you look at their eyes. Doesn't matter what else.
Because, you know, if we're trying to get away from division and stuff, you know, it's like racial division. It's like, let's scare everybody. Black men are scary. Oh, you know,
Gone Fall says, I like this guy because I hate him. Have him on more.
Telling you, it's like when your opponent hits a home run. You got to respect the home run.
It's like World Wrestling Entertainment. You got to have a villain and a big guy fighting it out.
All right, let's do a couple more here. I apologize for not getting to more of these, but we're running late because it was a good conversation.
Because I don't shut up.
Michael Brom says, I am from the Caribbean, and me and my African friends come here and outperform our black cousins because they are broken. Research, what do you say? He says, what his ancestors did to slaves when they rise, Black Wall Street happens. Mm-hmm. I see what he's saying.
He's on my side. There you go, definitely. Black man. Power to the people.
He's probably a fat white guy. No, he's making those comments.
I mean, no, I think he's right. You know, Black Wall Street, the Tulsa bombing stuff, bad stuff went down in this country.
Tuskegee experiments.
For sure. Yeah. Tuskegee experiments, man.
Yep. So you just did what I did to him when I said he's doing a Jussie Smollett. You said, that guy can't be black. He's a white guy. You know, so. None of this is real.
I will concede. I was a little kid. That story comes from me coming outside as a little kid, seeing glass, my mom being like, here's what happened. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I was raised hearing that story. But there's other stories.
So your mom did a Smollett. That's crazy. No, I'm
my mom, like, goes outside at 3 a.m. She's wearing a MAGA hat in 91. Yeah. She just knew. It was a Reagan era one.
Yeah. She's way ahead of her time.
She's like, push, Ross Perot. No, no.
All right. Let's see. Human says, you are literally dividing us more when you say that a white struggling is not the same as a black struggling. Struggle is struggle.
It's not true. It's not true, you know.
Starvation is starvation, I'll say that. Yeah.
I just think we gotta treat people as people. You gotta have a world where everybody is a person deserving of equal human rights and all that stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
But that means you can't tell someone they're undeserving because of the way they look.
When did I say that?
When you said you should choose the black guy over the white guy if an industry is too.
No, I said if 85% of the directors are white and they're both equally good at their job, same school, same credentials, let's get some diversity on the team. Yes, I agree with that.
All right, how about we do this? We went a bit late, so again, I apologize to a lot of the super chats we weren't able to get to, but smash that like button. And dude, you got to respect people who are willing to come on here and debate opposing viewpoints, because it's not often we're able to have that opportunity. It's hard to get people to come on the show. I tremendous respect for you coming on and looking at all of us big. I'm going to tell you what I think.
And let me tell you, you're thin, and you know when you're on your show, you put some weight on. You look like a little chubby stubby guy on your podcast. But when I seen you playing pool, you were like,
looking good, right?
He's like this tall, lanky guy. He's like a tall, lanky guy. I was like, wait.
That was funny. You were like, I thought you were smaller.
No, I thought you were stubby. Like,
well, I did lose weight a bit. Yeah, I started doing keto.
The beanie makes his head look
round.
But
even in the shot here, I'm watching us tonight. And, you know, from here. But then he was at the table, tall and lanky, doing pool.
Bro, it's a round Korean face.
It's so round.
All right, guys. Smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, follow us at Timcast IRL. You can follow me at Timcast. All right, you want to shout anything out?
All My Heroes Are Dead is the album. Ari the Rugged Man. You can follow Ari the Rugged Man Official on Instagram, the Ari the Rugged Man TV on YouTube, Ari the Rugged Man Twitter, all of that stuff. Yeah.
So
Facebook, whatever.
So I have to say that definitely didn't go as I expected it to go, to say the least. I thought we were going to get into Orange and government and like secrecy conspiracies and all that stuff.
Your viewers would like me over that stuff.
It didn't happen. Someone in the comment section said that this is the worst Ali G impression that they ever seen. Some people are saying, what is Tom McDonald's old father doing here? They're saying R.A. the Smollett man. There's a lot of different comments. You asked for it. You got it. I appreciate it.
Shout shout out to Tom. Tom McDonald and Nova. Those are good friends of mine. Right?
Yeah. I appreciate the conversation.
Nova's a little genius too.
And genius, I think we should do it on a bigger level. Have Immortal Technique on. Have different people from different perspectives. We need to debate. We need to argue. And I think at the end of the day, if we could still be friends with each other and still agree to disagree, but still be able to listen to each other, I think that's a victory. And even though it wasn't the best of debates, it wasn't the most civilist one. I didn't expect this to happen. It happened.
Are you disappointed or happy?
No. I think it's better than boredom, and I think it's better than the status quo, because we can have people reiterating what we believe in all the time, and it's just boring. Yeah, but when you have someone challenging you and you have to think on your feet, that's something that's rare, and that's something that's awesome. So I appreciate you, and I appreciate you, Tim, and I appreciate everyone making the show possible. And love you guys.
Oh, thanks, right, Luke. Man. I love you too. Hey, great seeing you, man.
Oh, what's your name?
Ian.
Again? Ian,
epic,
nice to meet
dude.
You.
Check me out at iancrossland.net. An hour went by super fast tonight.
Yes. I'm super fast.
Yeah. I thought it was 2 hours.
It was. Just one of those hours from like 8:15 to 9:15 was just like the snap of a finger. I was like, whoa.
Good show, man.
Yeah. Catch you later.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you very much for coming by. I will say that I think that you represented a lot of ideas that we don't hear a lot. Yeah. Hear a lot.
Well, then you should have somebody a little bit more,
they won't come on, bro.
If you could connect us, let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it. You help us get the guest. We'll get him here.
People are genuinely afraid.
I know,
they don't want to come on.
You know, I'm not the best articulation-wise. You know, I'm kind of like, you know, so.
It's I appreciate you.
Yo, I don't care. I like to be, you know, it's me. But I'm just saying.
If you know any of these people, help us get them.
Conflicting opinion, you should have somebody that has all that stuff at the
Mike, you got to talk to the mic.
You know, and oh, we're doing the show?
Yeah, we're still live. We're still live right now. We're closing off.
Oh, miss, edit that part out.
No.
That's live,
baby.
R.A.,
the softy man.
Edit that part out.
Let's get to the member section.
That was literally me. I thought the show was over.
I appreciate your advice.
We still got another 20 minutes.
Let me close. All right, you guys may follow me at Sour Patch Lids on Twitter.
All right, everybody. We'll see you over at timcast.com in the member segment. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.